ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമത് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം നവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ പുരുഷദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനത്തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യതോന്മയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ. തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരാഗാദരമാജുഹാവ. പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതുതം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാമദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവികാവി. നമ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമീഷ വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കടവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മവാസദാം പുരതോ മമ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയിലേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी मम त्वा मनसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपा प्रपन्नवारियादाय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदोगावोदोग्धाङ्गुपालनन्दन पार्थोवत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्चानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् विश्वद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजलाकान्धार नीलोत्पलशल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशर्यवजसरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैश्वजनशल्पदैरहरः पीवीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्वायतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयति गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वनिन्दि वेदैः साङ्गपदे क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थे तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्तियम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द कविरुवाच मन्ये कुतश्चिल्भयमच्युतस्य पादाम्बुजोपासनमत्र नित्यम् उद्विग्नबुद्धे असदाल्पभावाल् विश्वात्मना यत्र निवर्ततेभिः एव हि भगवता प्रोक्ता उपायः अल्पलब्धये अञ्जपुंसाम विदुषाम् विद्धि भागवतान् हि तान् यानास्ताय नरो राजन् न प्रमाद्येत कर्हेचिल् धावन् निमील्यवान् नेत्रे न स्खलेल् न पतेदिह कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्याल्पना वा अनुसृत स्वभावाल् करोति यद्यल् सकलम् परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेतल् भयम् द्वितीय अभिनिवेश तस्याल् ईशादभेदस्य विपर्ययो स्मृति तन्माययादोबुदमाभजेत्वम् भक्तेकयेशम् गुरु देवदाल्पा अविद्यमानोऽप्यवपादिः द्वयो ध्यादृधिया स्वप्नमनो रथो यथा तल्कर्मसङ्कल्पविकल्पकम् मनो बुधो निरन्ध्यात् अभयम् ततः स्याल् शृणन् सुभद्राणि रथाङ्गमाणिर्जन्मानि कर्माणि च यानि लोके गीतानि नामानि तदर्थकानि गायन् विलज्जो विचरेत् असङ्गाः सो वी वर् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् दिस् वर्स् 39 शृणन् सुभद्राणि रथाङ्गमाणि जन्मानि कर्माणि च यानि लोके कृष्णास् अपियरेन्स् कृष्णास् डिफ्रेण्ट् इन्कार्नेशन्स् कृष्णास् डिफ्रेण्ट् पास्ट् टैम्स् अण्ड् दि पास्ट् टैम्स् इन् डिफ्रेण्ट् इन्कार्नेशन्स् आल् आफ् दम् constantly a devotee is remembering them so that he doesn't forget Krishna at all time. That is the intention behind it. Just like we say that some devotees, they look into Srimad Bhagavatam and from Bhagavatam they find out that at what time each day Krishna has performed different pastimes and remember Krishna at that particular time. Like Damodara Leela in the morning, and later on, 9 o'clock, 8:39, Krishna going to the forest with the cowherd boys, playing the flute. Yashoda Devi has dressed Krishna ready for going to the forest. How Yashoda Devi decorated Krishna in different ways. So many things in the Bhagavatam spoken like that. In the whole Balalila pastimes, if you read, you will find that. And then the form of Krishna for meditation at that time. And later on, Krishna going to the forest, and afterwards, Krishna's different games, what they play together with the cowherd boys. And later on, Krishna's lunch with the cowherd boys. All these are systematically put in the Bhagavatam for our meditations, for dhyanam purposes. In this way, devotees follow that. Some other devotees, who are attached to some particular temple, they know how Krishna is worshipped at different times during the day. You got to have a very intimate knowledge of the process of worship in the temple at that time. And these devotees who are regularly visiting that temple, they know at what time what is happening inside the temple. So that way they will relate with Krishna at that particular time. Their mind is always absorbed in Krishna. This is the intention behind it. Somehow that's what he's saying here. ശൃണ്വൻ സുഭദ്രാണി രഥാംഗപാണിർ ജന്മാനി കർമാണി ച യാനി ലോകേ ഗീതാനി നാമാനി തദർത്ഥകാനി ഗായൻ വിലജേത് വിചരേ ദസംഗ സംഹൗ ദി അദർ ടു ഗെറ്റ് മൈൻഡ് കോൺസ്റ്റന്റ്ലി റിമെമ്പറിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്മരണ റിമെമ്പറൻസ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഐദർ ത്രൂ ദി ഫാസ്റ്റ് ടൈംസ് ഇൻ വൃന്ദാവനം ഓർ ഇഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് പോസിബിൾ ത്രൂ എ പെർട്ടിക്കുലർ ടെമ്പിൾ ഹൗ ദ വർഷിപ്പ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ദർ They will never forget the temple. Always in their minds, the different activities going on at the temple. Chanting the holy name or reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, constantly remembering Krishna at the time, at that particular time. So this is what is Bhagavata Dharma when we talked about bhakti. Bhakti is required because we saw there yesterday that this... Bhaktyegayesham Guru Devadatma. It is why bhakti is required. We have spoken about it. Without bhakti, it is not possible to destroy the vasana inside. If the vasanas has to go, bhakti has to be there. Otherwise, vasanas won't go. As long as vasanas are there, we will have this problem of the avidya is there and the sankalpa vikalpam of the mind will be there. And budho nirindya dhayanda sasyal. So, we talked about that. So, this is the bhakti sadhana. So, Bhagavata Dharma, when one is practicing in this way, through that, what will happen is that he will gradually start enjoying it. Because we have not tried that. That's why we are not enjoying it. Once you have tried, you will find certain taste in that. A taste has to develop for everything. It is like that. Why? Because our mind is normally, senses will go to sense objects. That's our general tendency in the world, isn't it? So, and the tendency means in mind and the senses will go to the sense objects, right? Actually, devotees who have practiced it for a long time, they say that the gratification of the senses, millions of times more than that, than the happiness in Krishna service. We have not experienced that. That's the problem. That this Ishvara Vasana, Krishna Vasana, is not a boring topic. It's not a boring thing, right? Only thing is we are unable to enjoy it. That is the problem. The reason for that is our Vishaya Vasana inside. That is the mud or the dirt inside. The dirt inside is not allowing us to taste this Krishna conscious life. Krishna conscious means completely able to remember Krishna all the time. That's not happening purely because of our what we call as the Vishaya Vasana inside, right? So this Vishaya Vasana or this Vasanas for sense enjoyment, it's a dirt inside, mud or dirt. And that is the obstacle in relishing Krishna consciousness. That is the reason behind that, right? Just like they give the different examples that a person who has got jaundice, if you give him the sugarcane juice, he will find it bitter. In the same way. That's the reason that for us, we got so addicted to sense gratification that for us, Krishna consciousness is bitter. But when we develop proper Krishna consciousness, like otherwise the rishis and Bhagavatam will not have spoken like this. Those who had that realization, that and even today many, many devotees are engaged in this. How to withdraw our mind from this world and become absorbed in Krishna. That is what Krishna consciousness is all about. And that for that, the acharyas and the great mahalmas, they have given us a lot of opportunities through different literature, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Karnamritam, Garga Bhagavatam. There are innumerable literature like that to read. Apart from that, to hear. More important than anything reading is hearing. As we said, Shravanam. Shravanam is the first thing. It is through Shravanam you develop that taste. And gradually once that builds up, then you will find it difficult to leave it. That stage will come. There are many people who relish listening like this. So, So, and at that time, the this happiness or anandam, which happens in bhakti, at the moment we find that a bit boring. What's this all about, isn't it? Because of the vishaya vasana inside, our attraction for sense gratification, that's not leaving us. And in order to remove that, this is required, what verse 39 says. Shrunvan subhadrani radhanga baner janmani karmani cha yani loke geedani namani tadarthagani gayan vilajet vijared asangaha. Without any, we should not feel any reservation about this. There is no other way except chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, absorbing mind in Krishna. Somehow or the other, how we do it, that's left to the individual. How he does that? According to one's taste, according to one's convenience, what suits that person. But there are processes spoken in the Bhagavatam. That is why this 10th canto, so many chapters discussing Krishna's appearance and pastimes, various pastimes. And to develop a taste for that, different devotees present it in very nicely in different ways. Right? So, and so, once you have developed the taste, then you won't leave it. You won't leave it. And you will, that just like those devotees who are regularly absorbed in this, kept their life for this, like Prabhupada used to say, offer at least one life to Krishna. At least this life you give it to Krishna, he said. You are given so many lifetimes for sense enjoyment. At least try one lifetime, offer it to Krishna. So, once we start doing that, then we won't give up, feel like giving up chanting the holy name. It becomes difficult, right? So, it will come at a stage, you will constantly chant the holy name. If you are not absorbed in hearing, you are absorbed in chanting. Chanting and hearing. So somehow or the other, there has to have a connection with Krishna all the time. That is the purpose. To have that relationship with Krishna, not to forget Krishna any time. All the time in day and night, remembering Krishna. So, and in this way, we will withdraw ourselves from this outside world. Vishaya Prabhancham, it's called. Vishaya Prabhancham means the world of sense gratification. From there we will come out, right? Now, if you think that after I have developed sufficient detachment, I will take to Krishna consciousness. Some people say like that, I still have a lot of attachment in this world. I'm not in a position to give up, I take up Krishna consciousness, they say. If you think like that, that's not going to happen. That is not the process. Process is that they say that because I don't have enough vairagyam, therefore I am not able to take to Krishna consciousness. Right? That is a big mistake. Why? Because vairagyam comes from bhakti. Not that bhakti comes from vairagyam. That is an important principle. Bhakti comes first. First bhakti. And then vairagyam comes. Not first vairagyam comes and then bhakti comes. Often we will say like that, isn't it? When we talk about Krishna consciousness, sometimes some devotees say like this, that, oh, I still have attachment in this world, Prabhu. They say like that. I'm still attached, I've got attachment. So when I get fully detached, then I will come to Krishna consciousness. I'll take it seriously. No, that's wrong. The point is that vairagyam comes from bhakti, not bhakti comes from vairagyam. So, jnanam, knowledge and vairagyam, knowledge and renunciation are children of bhakti, children of bhakti. So, initially nobody will have jnanam vairagyam. Nobody will have jnanam vairagyam, right? And neither bhakti nor bhakti. Neither bhakti nor jnanam nor vairagyam. Nothing will be there. So, the only thing is Ishvara Upasana. Upasana, you start Krishna consciousness in the way it's spoken through sadhana processes, you start that. And when you become very steady in that, bhakti will develop in the heart, right? And when bhakti develops, the mind will become more dissolved in Krishna. Dissolved in Krishna. And at that time, the attraction for sense enjoyment will go and vairagyam will come. This is the system. In this way, constantly through Ishvara Upasana, Krishna Upasana, remember in the last beginning, it said Narada Maharshi was Krishna Upasana Lalasa. That Krishna Upasana will become like Sri Narada Maharshi. He is Krishna Upasana Lalasa, it says. Lalasa means he could not give it up. That stage has come. He wants to be with Krishna all the time. All the time. So, this is the sadhana, and gradually building up Krishna consciousness in this way, this is what we have to do. Right? So, Bhagavata Dharmam, once when one practices like that, with firm mind and determination, constantly serving Krishna, through which develop bhakti and virakti, and in that way keep on increasing, build it up all the time. And in this way, when you keep on building up bhakti and virakti, virakti means vairagyam, when you develop that, gradually the mind will become dissolved in Krishna, and ultimately mind will become totally in the Antaryami. And in that way you reach the highest stage of bhakti, right? When the mind completely surrenders like that, at that moment you realize that I am not this body. That's the process. At that point you realize I am not this body. Instead, I am that Satta Chitta Anandam. Antaryami is identity, right? So this is the way that through Saguna Upasana, through Saguna Upasana, through bhakti process, gradually one elevates himself very gradually. And finally he reaches into self-realization. So, what we have to do is to develop this bhakti. Bhakti virakti. That's what it's saying here. Bhakti virakti. It will come back later. How bhakti and virakti comes together. Right? Bhakti virakti. So, when the mind, once who is attracted to Krishna, Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Once who is attracted to Ramachandra, Ramachandra's pastimes. Narasimham, Narasimha's pastimes. In this way, whichever form one is attracted to, Ishtadevada, in that way, completely when the mind gets totally dissolved in that, bhakti will elevate us and take us to that stage eventually, right? And by Krishna's grace, one will get there. At that moment, you will realize that we are not this body. So, Kavi Maharshi's these 12 verses, spoken from verse 33 to 43, 11 verses, is a process. First he spoke about the cause of our problems, fear. Why fear is coming from, how it happens. And he also mentioned that the difficulty is that the ajnanam, avidya inside, that is a cause. So, avidya is caused by maya. In order maya to go, take Krishna shelter. To take Krishna shelter, practice the process of bhakti. When you practice the process of bhakti, when bhakti becomes mature completely, we will become sufficient vairagyam here and attachment to Krishna, and the so-called mind which causes all the fear will get dissolved in Krishna, and with that we will realize who we are, self-realization will happen. So, that is the systematic way Kavi Maharshi has spoken here. That is what these verses are all about. And this is the whole Bhagavata Dharma, what Kavi has spoken. All other things from now on is based on these explanations, that is from 33 to 43. These verses, when the king Nimi heard that, based on that he asked the questions. First, these 11 verses are the very key factors. These 11 verses, if you keep on remembering this, you will know what you have to do in life. You cannot have any more doubts about it, because he has explained it so well here. Kavi told us why we have fear. Why are we living like this, in this fearful state? First analysis, why we are living in this fearful state. Due to, he also mentioned there that that asadalma bhava. Reason for that is identification with the body. He also told us very openly that as long as you are thinking you are the body, the fear will be there. So if you want to free yourself from the fear, the cause of the fear is asadalpa bhava, identification with the body. So first the identification with the body has to go. And for that purpose, he said the reason for that is the influence, avidya insight. That's what it is. Avidya is first, avidya works like this. Avidya maya, it's called. Avidya maya means that it has made us to forget our identity, who we are. That means as Atma, that we have forgotten. Plus, it has put us into think that we are this body. Secondly, so avarana mikshepam, both has happened. And so the moment we have identified with the body, ahankaram has come, and along with that we started seeing everything separately. Everybody is different. So due to the ahankaram it has happened. We are seeing individuals, everybody as individual. And with that ragam, dvesham, bhayam, everything happens. So he also mentioned there, the only way to come out of this is to take, because it is the influence of maya. Unless maya withdraws from us, this ajnanam won't go from inside. Avidya won't go from inside. Therefore he said, in order that the maya has to go, we have to take shelter of that personality who is in control of maya, which is Krishna. So Krishna's, by taking Krishna's shelter, you will get free from maya. That is the way. So in order to take Krishna's shelter, process of bhakti. That's how it is spoken. And then he said that the different ways, kayena vacha manasendriyerva, the only way is to, this is Bhagavata Dharma. Here it differs a lot from Vaidika Dharma. That Bhagavata Dharma means by the mind, body, intelligence, senses, whatever that is possible, always absorbed in Krishna, somehow or the other. And if everything cannot be absorbed, at least mainly the mind, that is the most important thing. That is why that verse 39, Shrunven Subhadrani Radhangapanir Janmani Kamani Chayani Loke Gidani Namani Tadarthakani Gayan Vilajit Vijaya Dasanga. If that happens, and for that purpose, Srimad Bhagavatam has given us various processes how to do that. Different pastimes, appearance and pastimes, at different times during the day, what Krishna has done, remembering that at different times. That's one method. The other method is, if you are not familiar with those pastimes, at least to remember Krishna at the temples, how he is worshipped at different times, in different ways Krishna is worshipped. So, in this way if you go, and we develop that high degree of bhakti in the heart, then what will happen is, this mind has no attraction for the world outside anymore. The mind will become so absorbed in Krishna, it will get dissolved in the Antaryami. At that time we realize we are not the body. We are not the body. And we get back our swarupam back. We come back to our original state. And the full knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi stage comes at that time. That's what he's saying there. So at that time you will feel that. So that is the next verse. See what happens at that time. Evam vradasu priyanama kirtyam jata anurago drudachittamuchaihi hasatya dorodidi raudi gayanunmadavan mrityadi logabahyam. Evam vradasu priyanama kirtyam jata anurago drudachittamuchaihi hasatya dorodidi raudi gayanunmadavan mrityadi logabahyam. He is saying here that when you reach that peak or the pinnacle of bhakti, when it comes to that stage, that means sadhana stage is gone. You moved away from the sadhana level. It has come to pure bhakti stage, parabhakti stage, right? When you reach that perfection of that, automatically you are chanting all the time. The chanting has become your life and soul. All the time, find it difficult not to chant. Find it difficult not to chant the holy name. And the love for Krishna has developed so much in the heart that sometimes you will start laughing, thinking about Krishna's different pastimes, different activities, how Krishna has performed his pastimes in this world. All pastimes has its own beauty. Whole of 10th canto is nothing but for the benefit of the devotee. Krishna has performed those pastimes. And and sometimes the devotee cries, thinking about it. Because inside his heart, the bhakti has developed to such a degree that he is finding it very difficult, that Krishna has got inside so strongly, and it finds it difficult, that Krishna finds it difficult to leave the devotee. These are, of course, the very, like the personalities like Vilumangalam, Uddhava and others, they are experiencing this all in their life. So it is referring to them. And many, many devotees have said, there is a verse in the Karnamadam. Krishna's one day, Vilumangalam was doing deity worship at home. So he has arranged everything, flowers and all other ingredients for the worship. And Vilumangalam has kept all the offerings for Krishna and for the deity to be offered. Krishna comes and took it and ate it. Vilumangalam says to Krishna that, "I have not even offered it. You started eating it," he said. Krishna got upset with Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam hit Krishna with the left hand like this. And Krishna says to Vilumangalam, "You will never see me here again. I am going," he said. There is a verse, I forget the verse, it's in the Karnamadam. So Krishna says to Vilumangalam, says to Krishna, "You can leave me, but you won't be able to leave my heart," he said. Vilumangalam says to Krishna, "You can leave me physically, but you won't be able to get out of my heart," he said. And then Krishna comes back again. So there are so many intimate relationships like that. If you go study Vilumangalam, Krishna Karnamadam, you will find all these relationships with Krishna and the devotee. Krishna and the devotee. Then there are other devotees in the same way. With many, many devotees, Krishna has done so many pastimes. That is why it is not only necessary to study Krishna's pastimes, it's also important to study devotees' pastimes with Krishna. That is how you relish this. And in this way, build up that awareness of Krishna, like the way the devotees have remembered Krishna. And that is what these verses are talking about. And if you do like that, what will happen? The bhakti develops to such a high degree inside. Evam pradasva priyanama kirtya jadani rago dhrita chittam uchaihi. That attachment is built up so strongly. Hasatyado rodhidi raudhi gayan unmadavan mrityadi logabahya. He doesn't know in this world what is going on. He becomes mad because of thinking about Krishna. Krishna has gone inside and influenced him so much that he cannot forget Krishna anymore. Unmadavan mrityadi logabahya. He is dancing all the time. Crying, laughing, dancing, all kinds of things. The same verse, Melpatur put it in the Narayaniyam also, in another way. Shreyo margesho bhaktav adhika bahumadi. He says, many, many processes are there, but this process of bhakti is the best. He said, Shreyo margesho bhaktav adhika bahumadi. Janma karmani bhuyo gayan shemani namani tadvi tadudam tudridam chidradalpa. That when one gets absorbed in that, mind becomes very, it gets liquefied, it's not solid anymore. Mind becomes very gayan shemani namani. So when that happens, then he is not able to restrict himself. He is so attached to Krishna that 24 hours, something and the other, in relationship with Krishna, he is thinking about. So, then sometimes, you know why he cries? He is thinking like this, how many lifetimes I have wasted without thinking about Krishna. He thinks like that. And then he cries. For all the lifetime he has wasted with different bodies, I never got this opportunity. And even in this lifetime, he feels that he has wasted his life. And he regrets about that. For having wasted his lifetime. And he thinks how many lifetimes he has wasted, and even in this lifetime, how much he has wasted. And then he thinks about that and he cries. What a wrong decision, or how he wasted his lifetime. That's why rodati, he says, hasatyado roditi. Then sometimes he forgets all that. He forgets that, and then he laughs heavily. He laughs heavily in a big way, right? Just like a mad person, right? And at that time, he is thinking that Krishna is always stuck in his heart. Krishna is not able to leave himself, leave him. So thinking about that, he feels so happy with that happiness of having Krishna in the heart, not leaving him from that happiness. So in this way, when he becomes to that stage, hasatyado roditi raudi gayan unmadavan nartati lokabahya, he practically, he is not in this world anymore. That is why it's called lokabahya. Lokabahya means that. Lokabahya means he is not in this world anymore. So in bhavana mandalam, it is not that you get out of this world with the gross body. That's not what is expected. What is expected is, in the Mano Mandalam, you come out of this world. Bhavana Mandalam it's called. In your bhakti world of bhakti, you get out of this world. Gross body may stay here, that is prarabdham. The gross body may stay here, that is your prarabdham. When the time is over, prarabdham is finished, the body will go. And then you get back to Krishna, no more birth after that. So the process is like this. Through bhakti, eventually you will get to know who you are. Andaryami. So here in Kavi Maharshi's process, the way it is spoken here is, through bhakti, you come to jnanam. Through bhakti, you come to jnanam. That's the way it is. That's the way it is presented here. Kavi Maharshi is saying this. The cause of all the problem is fear. Where is the fear coming from? Avidya. Avidya comes from thinking there is two things here. There is no two things. There is only one thing here. So, therefore he said, asadalpa bhavam, identification with the body is the cause of that. And that is due to avidya. Avidya is due to maya. To free yourself from the maya, to take Krishna's shelter. And when Krishna's mercy comes, and if we develop bhakti in the heart, it will reach a final stage when the mind gets completely dissolved in that bhakti process, and eventually you realize who you are at that moment. That is the process, right? So, and when that happens, and when he realizes that he is spirit soul, Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, he becomes satisfied. The same thing what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. Then Sarvabhavena Bharata Param Shantim Sarvabhavena Bharata Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. That is Aham Brahmasmi. Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. And that's what he's going to say here also, in the next verses. He will say the same thing. So here, in the heart, what happens? In his own heart, as Kshetrajna. The word Krishna used in the Bhagavad Gita is Kshetrajna, isn't it? Kshetram, Kshetrajna, inside. And that Kshetrajna is nothing but Pratyagalma. Another word that is used is Pratyagalma. Another word for that is Andaryami. All these words are important. Only if you get the, if you get that, why these different words are used at different times. There is a reason behind that. When you understand the meaning of these words, in what context it is spoken, then you will know why they have used that word. So, but they are one and the same. Kshetrajna, Pratyagalma, Andaryami, whatever you say, it's one and the same thing, right? And what happens to him, to the devotee? He is saying that this Krishna who is inside as Antaryami or Kshetrajna or Pratyekatma is the same person who is in the whole creation. He is present in the whole creation. Not only in his own heart, though the whole creation itself, the whole pravancham. He starts seeing everything he is seeing everywhere, that's all he is seeing. And when he sees that, that is the next 41 verse. Kam vayum agnim salilam mahincha jyotim shri sattvan dishodrumadim saril samudramscha hare shariram yalkincha bhutam pranamedananya. This is what happens to him. That he starts seeing that first he realizes within himself. After practicing bhakti and come to its perfection, he realizes, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, or I am that Antaryami, or I am that Pratyekatma, I am that Kshetrajna. One and the same thing. But in the Upanishad words, it is Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. He comes to him. Immediately after that, what happened? When that happens, that is when he sees Krishna everywhere. First he sees within himself. After that he sees Krishna everywhere. Everything is Krishna there after that. And that is why you see 41. Kam vayum agnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattvani dishodramadim haril saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinja bhutam pranamedananyam. That verse. So at that moment, five material elements, Kam, Vayu, Agni, Salilam, Mahim. There are the five material elements. They are not any more material elements. That's Krishna for him. Change in the consciousness. And similarly, what else? Jyotim, Shri Sattvani, Visho, Drumadin. Then all the planets and all living entities and trees, plants, rivers, oceans, anything, mountains, whatever that is there, everything is Krishna then. And what else? Saril samudramsha hare shariram. It is all Hari's shariram. Krishna's body, that is for him. Yel kinja bhutam pranamed ananya. Thinking like this, what he will do? He will be offering obeisances to everything and anything. Anything and everything, he will offer obeisances at that time. Because he has come to that stage. Aham Brahmasmi has happened to him. And then he realized that everything is Krishna. So therefore he offers obeisances. So you can see, bhakti and jnanam are not different. They are always together. A highly realized jnani is also a devotee. He will always see, everything in relationship with Krishna. So this, what is spoken there? Kam vayum agnim salilam mahincha jyotim shri sattvani dishodrumadin saril samudramscha hare shariram yal kinja bhutam pranamed ananya. What he says here. So this bhakti is like that. Then to see everything in connection with Krishna. Not to see them separately. They are Krishna's manifestations, right? And he starts offering obeisances to everything when he sees. And not only he offers obeisances, he tells others also to offer obeisances to the everything else in this world, right? The person who has realized it, he sees everything as Krishna, and he offers obeisances. But the one who has started Krishna consciousness, he won't be able to do that. To see everything as Krishna and to offer obeisances. For him, it is still mountain is a mountain, river is a river, and the trees are the trees. And everything what is in the world, he will only see him in that way. Not like the way the devotee will see that, right? So, but what he has to do, what the beginner has to do he has to accept the instruction of the Shastram and then accept that Krishna is present in everything, and he should try to offer obeisances to everything. This is for the beginner. The person who has realized it without anybody telling him, he will automatically do it. He will do it automatically because he has realized it. That's only Krishna everywhere, nothing else. After this Aham Brahmasmi realization, that's what happens to him. And then, therefore, everything is Brahman for him then, or Krishna is everywhere. So he will offer obeisance. But for a new beginner, a beginner who has not practiced it, the only option he has got is to accept what the Shastram says and start offering respects in that way to everything, and he should try that way to make the progress. And this is exactly what Krishna has told Uddhava also. Uddhava, if you are not able to see me everywhere, start doing this. Praname dandavat bhumav ashvachandala ghokaram visarjas mayamanan swan drisham vridamja dehigim praname dandavat bhumav ashvachandala ghokaram. So Krishna's instruction is exactly the same what Kavi is saying here. No difference at all. So Kavi is presenting to us a perfect devotee. What will happen to him? With his realization, how he will act in this world. He will see everywhere Krishna's presence, offer obeisances to everything. Obeisances to everything. All living beings, living, non-living, everything. For him, everything is Krishna now. And therefore, he has come perfected his realization. But someone who has started Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, initially because he doesn't know this, he cannot see everything as Krishna. Therefore, he has to accept the injunction of the Shastram. And based on the Shastric injunctions, he should conduct his life. That's the way it is spoken. And so from that bhakti, what all happened? First of all, when proper bhakti develops in the heart, vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come and the knowledge of the self will happen. Vairagyam will come and the knowledge will happen. Right? All of these things will happen very quickly, provided the bhakti has become perfect. Once the bhakti has become perfect, very soon vairagyam will come and the knowledge of the self also will come. Provided the bhakti has become perfect. Right? So, that is why the next verse, if you look, bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti anyatra chaishatriyam ekakalam, it says. Ekakalam means same time. Bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti anyatra chaishatriyam ekakalam prabhadyamana sayadasnudasyo tushti pushti chudabayonu khasam. What he is saying there is that the example is very good. He says, a person is very hungry. Very, very hungry. You gave him a nice plate of prasadam. Right? And what happens then? He eats happily. When he eats, three things happens to him. What are they? Tushti, satisfaction himself. Pushti, body gets the strength. Kshudabhaya anugasam, hunger goes away. Three things. Tushti, pushti, Chudabhayonukhasam. All the three things happen at the same time. In the same way, when bhakti becomes perfect, bhakti, vairagyam, jnanam, all the three things will come to him. So everything is based on the bhakti. Bhakti is the key element in all these things. All these things, bhakti is the key element. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is stressing on this point. Bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti anyatra chaishatriyameka kala prabhadyamanase yata asnudasyu tushti pushti chudabhayo anukhasam. That he points out here that the a person, when he takes his food, that his fatigue has gone. Because of the hunger, he was very fatigued. Have you noticed? You must have noticed this. Everybody knows this, isn't it? You speak to someone who is very hungry, he won't listen to you. Give him a nice prasadam and you talk to him. You'll sit and listen to everything what you say. So, prasadam makes that change in a person. So that's what he's saying here. That the fatigue has gone, the body has got some strength, the hunger is gone, therefore it goes away, pushti, tushti, pushti. Pushti comes, satisfaction comes, and from every morsel, when he takes it inside, right, the hunger is going away, and body is getting strong, and satisfaction, and when the stomach is full, the hunger has completely gone away. Therefore, the whole fatigue, what he was feeling due to hunger, has gone, and he is happy, and total satisfaction. Similarly, with the bhakti, if you continue our sadhana or upasana, and bhakti keep on developing, bhakti is like this, taking prasadam. Like the way we take prasadam, bhakti is like that. Constantly it satisfies inside, and bhakti, virakti, jnanam, all the three things comes to him. This is not just some theory spoken. These are all practical things from the devotee's experience. Kavi Maharshi has presented it to us in a very nice way, so that you can remember it, and if one is able to bring it into one's own life, that's his success. So, and therefore, when bhakti develops in the heart, the mind will become gradually melting down. It will become very liquefied, and it becomes absorbed in Krishna. And at that time, the attachment now for enjoying life in the world, attraction for the world, goes away from inside due to enjoying a higher thing inside, that is Krishna, right? And in that, when it becomes perfection, it finally, we were talking about the mind, the problem with the mind, you remember? And that mind has surrendered. Mind is not demanding anything anymore. That is what Krishna says, mind is a friend as well as an enemy. If you use the mind for sense enjoyment, it's an enemy. If they use the mind for Krishna's absorbing in Krishna, in Krishna's service, mind is a friend. Mind is not an enemy. Bhagavad Gita says the same thing, isn't it? And he develops perfect knowledge of the self, who he is, and the weakness goes away, and total satisfaction inside. Similarly, just like when you take prasadam, how the weakness all goes away, hunger goes away, and you get strength back. In the same way, when the mind gets completely absorbed in Krishna, at that time we realize we are not the body. We realize it naturally. In a natural way it happens, that we are not the body, we are soul. That understanding comes back. And at that time he feels satisfied. The devotee feels satisfied. So, and the moment one has started sadhana in life, anybody, anyone for that matter, if he has started chanting the holy name, already that process has started. It's not that you have to know it first. The moment you have started chanting, and the moment you have come to Krishna consciousness, this has already started for the person. Only thing is, in some cases, the progress will be fast. In some cases, the progress will be slow. A lot depends on various factors. How much Shraddha he has got, one. Secondly, his Prarabdham and Vasanas inside. And how determined he is, what Krishna says that, Vasayalmiyabuddhi, what one has got that, who is so fixed in that, ekagrata. Otherwise, many branched, isn't it? Buddhayo avyavasayinam. Krishna. Vyavasaya alpiyabuddhi egeha kurunandana. Bahushaka. Otherwise, as long as he is bahushaka, this won't happen. Bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Krishna saying. That has to go. Instead, vyavasaya alpiyabuddhi egeha kurunandana. So, depending on everyone, whoever, how ekagrata, egeha, this will happen. And once that dehabhimanam, identification with the body, has completely gone and we realize to who we are, then you feel settled. You don't feel any more dissatisfaction inside. Bhayam has gone. Fear has gone, because fear was due to this bodily identity. That is gone now. And total satisfaction, because as spirit soul there is no fear. Soul has no fear. Only the body has the fear, creates the fear. So that is why you see that bhakti pareshana bhavo virakti anyatra jai kshatriyameka kala prabadhyamanasya yadasnadasyu tushti pushti kshutabayu anukhasam itya achyutangrim bhajado anuvrityam bhaktir viraktir bhagaval prabhodaha bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shantimubaydi sakshal. His Kavimarshi is concluding his discussion about Bhagavata Dharma. Very nicely put in 11 verses. Very beautifully presented. Nowhere else in the Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam is to say these things. These 11 verses, so to say. Bhagavata Dharmam in a very condensed form. At the same time, nothing is left out in that. How it works. How Bhagavata Dharmam, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? How does that work? That's what is spoken in these verses. He's saying here that through this process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, in that way, Bhagavata Dharmam, if you have practiced it like that, and one who is doing it fully determined, without deviating into going to other things in this world, for such a person, he will eventually get that bhakti, firm bhakti in the heart. And through that upasana, upasana means dada upasana, automatically vairagyam comes to him, and eventually the knowledge of the self as well, and self-realization happens to him, and he comes to the perfection of happiness, anandam, comes to him, and fear completely leaves him. There is no more fear after that. Material existence is not an issue for him anymore. Material existence means fear, isn't it? So that goes away, and he has found out that he is not this body. He himself has found out that. He realized it, that he is spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. And he gets absorbed in that. So, what has Kavi said here? The question from the king was, number 30 verse, Adha Atyandiyam Kshayamam. That was the question, isn't it? Question was like that. Adha Atyandiyam Kshayamam. So the answer to that Atyandiyam Kshayamam is what he is saying here. Tataparam Shanti Mupaydi Sakshal. Once he has reached that state, he is in perfect Shanti. He is in a Shanti state. Shanti means there is no fear anymore. Total Shanti, peace inside. Tataparam Shanti Mupaydi Sakshal. So, when he asked the question, Adha Atyandiyam Kshayamam, that was the question, isn't it? Nimi asked the question, Adha Atyandiyam Kshayamam. Kavi saying, this is that Atyandiyam Kshayamam. What? Tataparam Shanti Mupaydi Sakshal. That is the Atyandiyam Kshayamam. Every one of us are in the same process, but at different stages. All of us, once you have come to take into Krishna consciousness, taken to Srimad Bhagavatam, you are already in it. You cannot go out now. You are stuck in that. But the progress will happen at different paces. One, that is Krishna's decision. Nobody can say anything about it. Krishna's mercy, how much we please Krishna, correspondingly, that rule applies there. The more you surrender, the more you offer to Krishna, the Krishna accordingly give us the proper help. From Andaryami is there, he inside, and he will give the support from inside for that. So that is why it is spoken. So Atyandiyam Kshayamam was the question. The answer to that, Tadaparam Shanti Mupayati Sakshal. You can see Kavi is saying exactly the same thing what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is the goal. The Shanti is the state where there is no fear anymore. Rasam is not the goal. Rasam is in bhakti what you experience. It can vary from person to person. in the bhakti, higher levels of bhakti, and that is rasam. But ultimately, shanti is the goal. Once you have come to the state of shanti, that because often people misunderstand like that they become rasam as the goal. Rasam, we don't know what will happen. That may, what rasam one gets, nobody knows. And sometimes people misunderstand about the rasam also. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Bhagavad Gita, shanti is the goal. Shanti is the ultimate state. Tadaparam shanti mupeti saksha. In Bhagavad Gita also you can see how many places Krishna has spoken about bhoktaram yajnadavasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhudanam nyatvamam shanti mrchati. Shanti there. And then again in the tadaparam, here he is saying tadaparam shanti mupeti saksha. And in the Ishara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhumani yantrarudhani mayaya. Then he says tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata yal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. Again shanti. Shanti, there are many other places also. If you look in the 11th chapter also, there is something mentioned about the shanti at the end. Isn't it? So what I'm saying is that Krishna is stressing that point, that the that the goal is shanti. Goal is shanti. There are many places like that. Krishna says about shanti. Many places in the Bhagavatam, you can sometimes look at that. Yeah, there are somewhere in the 11th, forget the verses now. So anyway, the important thing is shanti. Shanti is the important thing. So now, at this stage now, Kavi has spoken Bhagavata Dharma, which we have discussed now last 4 or 5 days. Right. So here, when the king Nimi heard this, that what Kavi has given him is Adhyalpa Vidya, Brahma Vidya. This is called Brahma Vidya, right? From this Brahma Vidya, the king had many doubts. When he heard this, many doubts. So, for those doubts, Kavi didn't answer that. When he raised the doubts, the other 8 yogis who had come with Kavi, they answered all those doubts. 8 questions and 8 answers. 8 people, 8 of those Navayogis, 8 of them have answered that, right? On a sequence basis, right? Actually, what has to be spoken has already been spoken. This is the most important part of the Bhagavata Dharma, these 11 verses, starting from 33 to 43. These 11 verses, one should always remember this, and this is our guideline in Krishna consciousness. Bhagavata Dharma, which is Krishna consciousness, what Prabhupada has brought, is this. This is what he wanted us to follow through. Understand this properly, and then this is the process to follow, this Bhagavata Dharma, right? So, at that moment, when they heard that, they have got doubts. Oh, the Nimi had doubts, right? So, next eight questions is in relationship with those doubts, what he had. Whatever that is to be spoken about the self-realization process, knowledge of the self, that everything has been spoken already in this, about fearlessness, freedom from fear, and said that is the atyandika kshemam and shanti. That's what it is, right? And ultimately, shreyasa is that I have to get out of this bodily identity, right? This misunderstanding that I am this body, that is from where I became fearful. I became fearful because of that. Now the fear has gone, and he is established in fearlessness, so he is totally satisfied. So, Bhagavadasya Rajan, he says, Bhavandi Vai Bhagavadasya Rajan. That person has become Bhagavat. Who? This person who has become free from fear, he has become a Bhagavatam. He has practiced Bhagavata Dharmam and he has become a Bhagavat. He has become a Bhagavat. And Bhagavadasya Rajan is Bhagavatam. That means he has got Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. All the three, right? Bhakti, Virakti, Bhagavat Prabodham. Bhagavat Prabodham means what? Jnanam. He has got all the three. Iti Achyudangrim Bhajadoina Vrtya. In this way, by serving Krishna, he has come to this stage. What? Bhakti, Virakti, Bhagavat Prabodham. Means Bhakti, devotion, renunciation and knowledge. All the three has come to him. It has come to him, right? And therefore, Bhavandi Vai Bhagavadasya Rajan. He is Bhagavat now. He has become Bhagavat. And what else? Tataparam Shanti Mupayati Sakshat. And he is in the Shanti state, right? So, when he said this, naturally, it is natural. Hari asked, the king asked the question that, I would like to hear what does he look like, this person? Just like Arjuna asked Krishna the same thing. When Krishna spoke about Sthita Prajna, naturally that's the way it will be. We will also do the same thing. If somebody tells us all this, show us one like that, what he will be like. How does he act? How does he eat? How does he sleep? Arjuna asked all these things, isn't it, to Krishna. Remember when Sthita Prajna Dharma was spoken? In the second chapter, you will see Arjuna asking Krishna. That's it. How does Krishna tell me, how does he walk? How does he sleep? How does he eat? And how does he talk? All kinds of things Arjuna is asking. Because it's interesting, isn't it? So Arjuna is thinking, by asking that question, when I see him, I can check it out. If that's how he is doing, then otherwise I can say he's a devotee or he's a Sthita Prajna or not a Sthita Prajna. But Krishna is very clever. What did Krishna say? Krishna didn't talk about anything of that side. He didn't talk how he eats. He didn't say how he talks. Instead, Krishna told him what is inside the person, what's happening. That's all he answered. So, our problem is like this. We also do the same mistake. For us, because we are under bodily identity, that is the problem. Then, when Arjuna asked that question, if you look at Krishna's answer, Krishna never spoke about how does he eat, how does he sleep. He will also sleep like us. He will also eat like with the hand only, and to the mouth only. He's going to eat. He's not going to change anything like that. He walks with the two legs only. He does things with the two hands only. Everything is the same. So it is not through externals that you judge a person. That's the most important thing. Not through the external. And this is the reason why it is so difficult for us to recognize a pure devotee also. For this reason. That we will think he'll do everything exactly like the way anybody else is doing. So there Krishna answered it like that to Arjuna. Instead, what did Krishna tell him? That all the things after that what Krishna has spoken is all in relationship with the subtle body. How it will be working. Vihaya sayavan karman, raga dvesham won't be there. How will you see in a person all these things? Whereas Arjuna was asking, how does he walk, how does he sleep, how does he eat and all that. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us that it is presenting to us to how to become sensible in spiritual life. How to become sensible in spiritual life. We should not bring our materialistic understanding into spiritual life. Everything will fail there. Materialism won't help in spiritual life. You can see materialists do such foolish things in this world. They haven't got a clue about anything. They have no idea. They are living that they are the body, thinking they are the body. And based on that body, they are doing all sorts of crazy things. Isn't it? So that won't work in spiritual life. Spiritual life means fineness. Fineness inside. You become finer and finer, more subtle inside. And then you will know what spiritual life is. When you are very gross, it's very difficult to understand spiritual life. That is what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is teaching us. Here also it's the same thing. The Rajovacha, Atha Bhagavatam Brutha, Yad Dharmo Yadrishonranam, Yada Charadiyal Brude, Yer Lingir Bhagavat Priyaha. He says, now tell me about this Bhagavatam, Bhagavat person, he says. And here you can see this Nimi was not as bad as Arjuna. Arjuna was very much like an ordinary person. He asked the question, how he eats, how he walks, how he sleeps and all that. But Nimi was not that extent. Nimi says to him, can you tell us his nature? How will you know from his nature what kind of Bhagavad he is, right? And how come he becomes so dear to Krishna? He said, can you tell it? Yada charadi yel brute yer lingir Bhagavat priyaha. How that person has become Bhagavat priya? Very close to Krishna, right? So when he asked this question, that this says here that atha Bhagavatam brutha yad dharmo yadrusho nranam yada charadi yel brute yer lingir Bhagavat priya. That was the question, right? So he's saying here, yad dharmam. What is his dharmam? It means here what that means is, how does he behave in this world, right? And how does he do things in this world? And his way of activities and how he conducts his vyavaharam in this world. How he moves around. How does he speak? I mean, not that what language he speaks, but does he speak in English or anything? No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is that how does he interact with others? How he deals with the world, in other words. How does he deal with this world? Right? So, how will I be able to find out a Bhagavata person? This is the question, right? That and what will be his commitment in life? What does he? How does he live in this world? For what? How does he keep himself? All these questions. So, for that, Hari is answering that. Hari is answering. First thing is, he said, answer is precise, very direct answer. A Bhagavatam, he says. Hari Ruvacha, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet, Bhagavat Bhavam Almana, Bhudani Bhagavat Yalpa, Esha, Bhagavad Ottama. It's a very important verse that is. Why? In one verse he is saying that only one word is required to say this. What is that? Bhagavad Ottama means Bhagavadam, proper Bhagavadam means. His quality is this. There's only one quality is important for him. What is that? Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam. We have to understand what Samadarshanam means first. Samadarshanam is the answer for that. Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavad Gita also. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shuni Jaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshanam. Krishna will say this to Uddhava also. When does he say? In the 7th chapter, 11:7, he says, Tundu sarvam parityajya, sneham sajana bandushu, maya vesha mana samyak samadrik. That is the samadarshanam. So, Krishna said this to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said this to Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandam. And now, Hari Maharshi is saying the same thing to King Nimi also. Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam is the qualification of a Bhagavatam. If you remember, that is very good, because we may have misunderstanding about devotees, isn't it? We try to think what level is one person. Always it comes to our mind. Unfortunately, what happens to us is that we look at, oh, he's a GBC or he's a guru, so he must be the highest. That way we think like that. But that is not exactly the way to look at things, based on the position in the institution. We start grading people. That's wrong. The right way to look at it is the way it is spoken in the Bhagavatam, not any other way. This is not only for that purpose. This will help us to know ourselves, where we are at. That's the main thing. Not to evaluate others, but for our own evaluation, this will help. So the first thing for a Bhagavatam, a person who has advanced in Bhagavata Dharmam, his qualification is Samadarshanam. That's what this verse is. Samadarshanam. But we will explain what that Samadarshanam means. Samadarshanam means we will misunderstand there also. Easy to misunderstand things, right? So, he is the devotee, says Kavi. Hari. Hari is saying that one who has got Samadarshanam, he is the devotee, right? And he does not follow any other dharma. His only dharma is Samadarshanam. Because this is what he asked here. That yad dharmo, he said. The answer, what is the dharmam he follows? Isn't it? Atha bhagavadam brudha yad dharmo. What is the dharmam he follows? So the answer to that is, his dharmam is Samadarshanam. Equal vision, right? Samadarshanam. What is Samadarshanam means? Samam Darshanam Samadarshanam. Samam Darshanam is Samadarshanam. Means, seeing everyone equal. Same way. Just like we say, treating everybody in the same way. Equally, treating everyone. Is Samadarshanam. That means to see everyone in the same way. Right? But actually that is not right. That's not right. Right? That means to see a great Mahatma and a gross materialistic idiot, to see them in the same way is not Samadarshanam. Do you understand? To see a great Mahatma realize the soul and a hardcore materialistic idiot, to see both of them in the same way is not Samadarshanam. That's what I'm saying. That we have to understand this word Samadarshanam properly. Right? That is where Krishna also said the same thing. Do you remember? What did he say? If you look into the 29th chapter, we will only get the message properly if we look at everybody's opinion about it. What Krishna says, what Hari says. And if you look at the 29th chapter, Krishna used that statement there, an important statement, where he says, 14th verse, Brahmane pulkase stene brahmanye arke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrik pandido mata. Krishna is saying there. So, does that mean, you see a brahmana, a thief, a pulkasa, brahmana, a thief, and chandala, or one who has stolen the wealth from the temple, Brahma Swabhari, right? And realized souls, a Brahma Jnani, or a Bhakta, or the sun, or a spark of fire, or a person who is very, very peaceful, or another one who is very cruel. And all of them, to see all of them equal, that's not what Krishna is saying there. That's what I'm saying. That when we say Samadarshanam, we should understand that word Samadarshanam properly. So, Brahmane pulkase stene, that verse, right? Brahmane pulkase stene. Yeah, Brahmane pulkase stene brahmanye arke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrik pandito matha, he says. This is what Krishna has spoken, right? In all these, in brahmana, pulkasa, stena, akrura, krura, arka, spulingam, all of that, and all of that, we have to see Krishna is there. That is called Samadarshan. You are not looking at the body anymore, in any of them. You are seeing Krishna in all of them, then you are Samadarshanam. If you are not seeing Krishna there, you are not saying they are all the same. It is not possible to have Samadarshanam between a materialist and a highly advanced self-realized soul. That is not Samadarshanam. What you are actually, if you have started seeing Krishna is in the Mahatma, Krishna is in, that is, it is actually only Krishna is there. That means you are only seeing his Swarupam, not his Swabhavam. If you see the Swabhavam of a person, you cannot have Samadarshanam. If you see only the Swarupam of a person, then that is Samadarshanam. Yeah? Only seeing the Swarupam, not seeing the Swabhavam. That is called Samadarshanam. That's what he is saying here. That Brahmajnani, who has realized the Brahma, and Pulkasa, or say Chandala. What that means is, one who has no spiritual culture. Absolutely no trace of samskaram inside. Almiya samskaram, right? That means full of tamogunam inside. That person. And another one who has reached the highest stage with knowledge of the self, self-realized state, stene, brahmani. So, stene means thief. In the thief also. And those who are offering respects to the devotees, in all of them, but he has not become perfect yet. He is performing his sadhana. In all these different categories of people, you are only seeing Krishna there, nothing else. You are not seeing that person's swabhava. It is a very interesting thing to say this. Why? Because, you know, we all have different swabhavam, isn't it? You agree with that? So we all have different swabhavam. Why do we have this different swabhavam? That is the proof that we had previous life. You see? This is the proof of that. Otherwise, our gross body is more or less same. But our swabhavam is different. This difference in the swabhavam is due to different lives in the past. According to the life we have lived in our past life. And that is why our swabhavam is different. This is the proof of that. So you cannot deny, people ask this question, where is the proof, they say. That people ask this question, isn't it? Where is the proof that you were here before, you had another body? The materialistic or those who have studied science too much, they will ask this question. Where is the proof, they say. Proof is this, that we are all different in our behavior. Nature, swabhavam is different. Because from previous lifetimes, what we have brought with us is our swabhavam today. Otherwise, there is no other reason why we are so different, each one of us. Isn't it? Even twins, when they are born, you will see they are behaving differently. They look alike. They look very much alike, but their behavior is so different. One goes, one becomes a devotee, one becomes a demon. Or one becomes a sportsman, another one becomes something else. So why these differences have come? It's purely due to the samskaram we have created in previous lifetimes. So that is why it is said like that. So here he is saying there that so this Bhagavatam, who has got this Samadarshanam, equal vision, means that he sees Krishna in everything. He only sees Krishna, nothing else. He is not seeing the body. He is not seeing his activities, his swabhavam, nothing. Only sees Krishna is only there in that body, nothing else. All other things has gone away for him. That is Samadarshanam. Of course, we can only talk like this. These are something for experience, for realization, isn't it? Only when you realize it, that there is a state like that, There are so many interesting stories about this. There was a famous sannyasi, forgot the name. I think it's called Pavahari Baba. Pavahari Baba lived in Rishikesh for a long time. Vivekananda Swamiji goes to see him, this Pavahari Baba. There's a lot of stories associated with many, many great personalities like that. Pavahari Baba means he only ate the air. That was his food. He never asked for food from anybody. Nobody, people brought him food. He never took it. And sometimes they will go and bring as much food as possible, but he won't eat anything. Therefore, he Pavahari Baba he was called. So this Pavahari Baba, Vivekananda goes to see him before he went to America and all that. Vivekananda was traveling all over the country, visiting many, many, many great personalities. At that time, he went to see this Pavahari Baba also. So when he went to see him, he was talking to Pavahari Baba. This whole description is there. You can, it's there in the internet also, written very detailed about it. Right. So there is mentions there that for him there was no differences. He lived in a cave. And the cave is full of snakes. And they have not affected him. He used to come out once in a way and look at people who have come to see him. And they used to see all these snakes inside the cave. He was least disturbed about their presence. Why? Because this stage has come. He has already reached that stage. He's not seeing anymore as a snake, as a snake. There's only Krishna in the snake, nothing else. Jiva. So that elevated state that comes to a person, he is not any more affected by the body or by the his activities or by the swabhava, nothing like that. So that is why Krishna is saying like this, Brahmane pulkase stene. Isn't it? Brahmane pulkase means chandala. What means who has absolutely no trace of spiritual culture and who and steni. Steni means one who is a thief. Thief is his karma, body is doing that. But inside him also there is Krishna is present there. So, and similarly, akrure krurage chaiva. Akrura means one very kind. Krura means very cruel, right? And he is Pandita. Krishna is saying, Pandita. Samam means, Samadrishinam means, Samam means this jnanam, knowledge of the self, right? That knowledge, for example, the jnanaika rasam it's called, Samam. Samam means Krishna's presence in that person. Krishna's presence in a Brahmana, Krishna's presence in a thief, it's equal. It's not in Brahmana there is more Krishna, and in the thief there is less Krishna. We shouldn't think like that. Krishna is equally present in Brahmana as well as in the thief. They also give the example, when we look at an elephant and a mosquito, we think that in elephant there is more Krishna and in the mosquito there is only little Krishna. It's not like that. Krishna in the elephant and Krishna in the mosquito is equal. Don't go by the size of the body. Huh? We may be thinking, just like we think, that the a powerful car, 4 liter or 5 liter, whatever it is, it is got, or big cars, requires more power to drive, and a small mini requires only small power. That is true in material sense. Spiritually, it is not like that. In the elephant, as well as in this thief, or in the mosquito, there is equal Krishna's presence. Equally. That is called a samam. Samam means equal. So, samadarshanam means
seeing Krishna equally in all living beings, everywhere. You see, that's a way to see that samadarshanam. That understanding has to come. So seeing everyone equally is not the samadarshanam. Seeing Krishna's presence in everyone equally is samadarshanam. That's the difference. Yeah. Seeing everyone equally is not samadarshanam. For example, I said a highly realized soul and a totally materialistic person, you can't see them same way. It's not, that is their swabhavam. One is a realized soul, the other one is a gross materialist. If you read the first canto, Prabhupada has written all these things in detail. In the first canto's purports, Prabhupada will say there that how dangerous it is to associate with materialists. There, just like one moment of association with a self-realized soul, how much beneficial it is. Equally, the other side is also true. One moment of association with a hardcore materialist is sufficient to drag you down, not to allow you to move up in spiritual life. So there, Krishna Prabhupada has mentioned a lot of things about that. If you read that part, Bhishma Stuti and all that, in the purports, in the first canto, Prabhupada keep repeating this, that not to associate with the materialists, how damaging it is, because it will never allow you to develop spiritual qualities inside. So here he is saying here, so samabhavana or samadarshana means not seeing everything equally, but seeing Krishna equally presence in everyone. Krishna's presence equally in everything is samadarshana. Not to see the person's swabhavam, but rather seeing the swarupam. Seeing the swarupam. So, that is what this first line is. Sarva bhudeshu yappashyen bhagavad bhavam altmana bhudani bhagavatyalpa esha bhagavadottama. The first verse is referring to that. Sarva bhudeshu yappashyen bhagavad bhavam altmana bhudani bhagavatyalpa esha bhagavadottama. He's saying there that the first thing, sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam altmana. See, there are two words used there, have you noticed? One is altmana, the other one is altmani. Why is it like that? One first one he says there, bhagavad bhavam altmana and bhagavad altmani. Why the difference is that? Difference is this, that first thing is altmana. Altmana means within oneself. Within oneself, seeing Krishna. That means one has to realize oneself first. Antaryami is at altmana, bhagavad bhava, altmana. That means we have to realize we are not the body first. First we have to realize that. After practicing bhakti, what was spoken there before, by executing that bhakti, eventually develop vairagyam and then jnanam. And that jnanam is this altmana, bhagavad bhavam, altmana. And then after that, that Krishna who is present inside as our soul, Antaryami, he is seeing him in all other living entities here, moving and non-moving everywhere, and he is the devotee, and that is that altmani. Within ourselves is altmana, and everywhere else is altmani. See the two words? Here. Sarva bhudeshu yappashyet bhagavad bhavam altmana bhudani bhagavat altma altmani esha bhagavat ottama. So altmana is for us, altmani for everything else. Bhudani bhagavat altman esha bhagavat ottama. Esha bhagavat ottama. So initial, and that is Hari says he is the devotee. He is devotee. First thing, Krishna is present inside us as our own very self, Antaryami, inside, with whom we call it as Kshetrajna, or Pratyagalpa, or Antaryami, whichever way you address him, it's the same. And it is that Krishna who is inside us as Kshetrajna, Antaryami, Pratyagalpa, he is the same one who is present in all living entities as the Antaryami, Kshetrajna and Pratyagalpa in all others as well, right? And one who is seeing this like that, not saying like me, not saying that, but one who is seeing that, not that he is intellectually explaining this, right? But experiencing it all the time, that means Krishna, who is present inside us as our very Antaryami soul inside, and seeing him as present in all other living entities as the soul, he is the one, he is saying, a devotee. So, without giving any doubt, if people have any question about who is a devotee, very precise answer is here. That's why that first verse is so important. This 45 verse. This is the benchmark for a devotee. If somebody asks who is a devotee, Sarvabhudeshya Pashet Bhagavad Gavalpana, Bhudani Bhagavat Alpani, Esha Bhagavadottama. That's all. Seeing first oneself, Antaryami inside, as himself as the Antaryami, not as the body. Not as the body. Seeing himself as the Antaryami. After that, he is seeing that this is the same Antaryami who is present in every living entity. And therefore, he has got Samadarshanam, and therefore he is a devotee. Sarvabhodeshu yapashyen bhagavad bhavam alpana bhudani bhagavatyalpani esha bhagavadottama is the best, he says. Bhagavadottama is the best of the devotees who sees this. So, that is why it's so important to know these things. Otherwise, we have different, in the world outside, it is a different way how devotees are judged, isn't it? So, this is the standard. So, so Shri Hari, who is present inside, Bhudani Bhagavatyalpani Esha Bhagavadottama, right? What does that mean? Bhudani Bhagavatyalpani Esha Bhagavadottama. This whole world, this whole manifested world, we are experiencing it the way we are experiencing it now, that it exists, right? It's only existing because Krishna is there. Therefore, Krishna is called the Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the foundation, right? So, because Krishna is there, that's why we are seeing everything is existing. The building is existing, the sky is existing, material elements are existing. The existence of everything is due to presence of Krishna, Adhishtanam, right? So, one who is seeing that, that's what seeing Krishna everywhere means. Not only in the other living beings, in everything, living and non-living, both, you have to see Krishna's presence, right? And that, what is giving the reality to this world, that is the same thing what is present inside us as Antaryami, as our very soul, as our very soul. Similarly, all this creation, in both ways, you have to look at it this way, that the whole creation is, the foundation for that is me, means Antaryami, my Antaryami, right? That means, first thing, my Antaryami, it is due to my Antaryami, is the same foundation for the whole manifested world. And the whole manifested world is resting in me, in Antaryami, in me. So to see the Antaryami in that way, Antaryami or Kshetrajna or Pratyekatma, whichever way we call it, it's the same thing. What he's saying is that this inside-outside difference has gone. Initially, we are thinking that Antaryami is inside, outside we are not seeing anything. But when this situation happens, when he becomes a proper devotee, what will happen? Inside and outside, there is only Krishna. There is no two things there existing anymore. Dvaitam has gone. Because Antaryami is inside and that's me. And it is the same Antaryami outside also. And that outside Antaryami is the same one that is inside me. That differences between outside and inside has gone from him. So that's what he's saying here. So, this is the dharmam of a bhakta. Bhakta's dharmam, right? Samabhavana or samadarshanam, Krishna calls it like that. You can see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said the same thing. In the Uddhava also, Krishna said the same thing. Kavi is saying the same thing here, right? So, this is one meaning of this verse. It has got one of this meaning, right? This is one of them. This is the direct meaning of this verse. But because there are so many commentaries on the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, and there are other commentaries also on this verse, right? So, but this meaning is the most widely accepted one, most authoritative, what we have said now, that Antaryami inside, we realize this, is the same Antaryami present in everyone, and everything else is present in this Antaryami. Antaryami only exists inside, outside, this realization, right? So, directly when you hear these words, that's what it means, right? So, there are other commentary on that, right? Normally, in Shastram, that if a particular explanation is given, right, and if it is not satisfying, only then other conclusions are spoken. There is a rule about that, right? But still, acharyas, they have, when they make commentary on Upanishads, right, or some of the verses in the Bhagavatam also, they will give more than one meaning. More than one meaning. They will give that. Normal practice is that the if the meaning is not clear, or if you are not feeling totally satisfied with that explanation, only then you require another explanation, right? That's a normal process. But Upanishad Mantram, and similarly several verses in the Bhagavatam, the acharyas have given several explanations for the same verse. For the same verse, right? but when you look at those different explanations, moreover, you will accept, for example, in this case, this first explanation what we have spoken will be the most acceptable one. But in some instances, most of the people will accept that, but sometimes people like to hear other explanations. So for that purpose, some people may look at other explanations as well. It's not necessary, but you can get what Hari has told there in that one verse. Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavadbhavamalpana bhudani bhagavatyalpani esha bhagavadottama. The explanation to that we have spoken. That first thing is, you see yourself as Antaryami. And then you see it is this Antaryami who is present in everything, everywhere. Living, moving, non-moving. Everywhere there is only this Antaryami only. First realization. Second one, there you realize this, that it is that Antaryami who is present in everything is present inside me as well. It's not different. So this is the proper explanation to that verse. Sridhara Swami has gone with that. But there are other commentaries on that for whom may be of some interest to some people, maybe not. But main thing is this. What Sridhara Swami has agreed and many others have said is this, what Krishna is saying also, that I am that Antaryami, that first realization, right? And this Antaryami, which is inside, which is I am, is me, Antaryami, who is present everywhere in this creation, moving and non-moving. Everywhere there is only Antaryami. And that's one. Secondly, he's saying that Antaryami, who is present in all the living beings, moving and non-moving, is the same thing that's present inside me as Antaryami. Either way, both ways. So this is the proper explanation to that. Now let's look at the other ones, right? So, so one who is present in everything, and one who is present in everything means, what does that mean? It means that he is able to keep everything together. Antaryami. It is an Antaryami, everything is present, right? And and it is through him that everything is manifesting. It is in Antaryami, everything is manifesting. And therefore, he is called Pratyagalma. As Pratyagalma, he is present in everything. And that Shri Hari, Hari who is present in everything, is the Super Soul or Paramatma, right? And Krishna is as Paramatma, is present everywhere, right? And in everyone's heart, and in every, present in everyone's heart, and in that person or in that living entity, he is doing different things, right? That means, it is due to Antaryami's presence in him that he is acting in this world in different ways with his body, mind, senses, everything. That means all his mind, body, senses, intelligence, everything is activated by this Antaryami in him. Antaryami in him. So, this is in the Tantra Shastram, it is given importance to that. Right? In Tantra Shastram, it's given importance to that. Why? Because Tantra Shastram is very much related to the body as well. The science of the body's function. For example, you see this Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaikari. We talk about Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaikari. Four stages when we speak. Before we speak one word, which is Vaikari, when it started, it is called Para. Then it becomes Pashyanti. Then it becomes Madhyama. Then it becomes Vaikari. Vaikari is the most gross form. Para is the most subtle form. Right? Para is the most subtle form. Now, when you study this Shabda Shastram, this is Shabda Shastram, isn't it? Shabdam, sound. Therefore, it's called Shabda Shastram. There is a Shastram behind it. Now, this Shabda Shastram is linked to Mantra Shastram. All the Mantram is Shabdam, is it not? All the Vedic Mantram is all Shabdam. So, Mantra Shastram is there is Shabda Shastram is there. They are both connected each other. Now, then there is Tantra Shastram. Tantram is when you use your body in the worship. So, what happened? How they have connected it? And then there is Yoga Shastram, Yogam also. So, in Ashtanga Yogam in Patanjali, he talks about all these different chakram in the body, isn't it? Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram. Like that, chakrams are spoken, right? So, they join the Yoga Shastram or Tantra Shastram with this Mantra Shastram or the Shabda Shastram. How they join that? They say that where Kundalini begins, where Kundalini starts, at that point, which is called Mooladharam, where Kundalini is present, that is where Para is. The word what we use, Para Pashyanti Madhyama Vaikari, the Para is the form of the sound before it comes out as Vaikari. In its original form is Para. And that Para is present in the Kundalini. Para is present in the Kundalini. And then as it moves up, it goes through Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, which is what is passing through the other chakrams. So at different chakram it has got different names. Kundalini in the Mooladharam, it is called Para. And then when it moves up, Mooladharam Swadhisthanam, it becomes Pashyandi. Manipuragam, Anahadam. In that way, when it comes in different chakrams, the same word has got different names. Pashyandi, Madhyama and all is in relationship with the position of that word at different chakram. At different chakram. So, that is why this Tantra Shastram, this so much Shastram to learn, if one can spend the whole lifetime to learn all these things, one will never make it. But, so, Tantra Shastram says that these little insects, for example, a fly or a bug, or things like that, they are considered to be Kshudra Prani, isn't it? They have a short lifespan, and they live a small, short life here, and they're gone from here, right? So from their life to a perfect Siddha, Siddha means one who lives a long time, and he has perfected his life in many ways, Parama Siddha, right? And practically you can say right up to Lord Brahma. From Lord Brahma, right up to the small creature, a living entity, who is not much significance in our eyes, we consider that. In all these things, that Sri Hari is present. Because Sri Hari, Krishna's presence there, is what is keeping that little fly going in this life. Also Brahma is also Sri Hari there. Sri Hari is present there, right? So, so that Pratyagalpa is called Pratyagalpa there, who is allowing that particular form able to gratify its senses in its own way in this world, right? And both these things, as in the little fly or a bug, and in Lord Brahma, it is the same Sri Hari, who is present in both, right? So, then Sri Hari, and so, because when you look at this Kshudra Prani, that means the bug or a fly or a bee or whatever it is, because he is present in there, in no way, Krishna has come down by that. What it means is that Krishna is present in the Brahma, Krishna is present in this bug also. But because he is present in the bug, that doesn't mean in any way Krishna has lost his importance. Equally important he is in Brahma as well as in this bug or fly, right? The reason is this, that when he is present in this bug or a fly, he is not sticking to the bug or fly. Similarly, when he is Brahma also, he is not sticking to Brahma. What that means is that body is doing its things. He is present completely independent of the body, in that body. He is present completely independent, right? So that means he is not sticking. Like Krishna is present inside us also, but Krishna is not sticking to us, isn't it? We are separate on that point when we don't realize our identity. When we think that we are the ahangaram inside, Krishna is not sticking to our ahangaram. Our ahangaram is doing its own business in this world, whatever it's doing. Krishna is completely acting independently as a witness, staying there for everything. So, and that is why, you remember this comparison given when Shukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit at the end in Brahmopadesham. He said, in the pot there is a sky. The sky outside, Ghatakasham, Athakasham. The sky is inside, but sky is not sticking to the pot anywhere. As soon as you break the pot, what happens? There's only one sky. The same example. The same example. Similarly, in whichever living entity, bug or a fly or an elephant or Brahma or demigod or anywhere, whatever it may be, while Krishna is present inside, he is not sticking to anything. He is not sticking to that particular body. Right? And that is why every time in the Upanishad says, asangoyam, 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 about Krishna. It says, no sangam anywhere. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoham, aham evaham avyayam. Upanishad says this. Right? So, even in a very, very tiny, less significant living entity, a fly or a bug or a bee or whatever it is, there also Krishna is completely present there with his full opulences. He is present there with his full opulences, right? Similarly, in this way, seeing all living entities, Krishna's presence equally. That means, no matter who it is, how insignificant a person is, maybe not at all significant, always to think that Krishna is present there with all his opulences. He is present inside as the one who is allowing that jiva to act in a particular way, what he is acting in this world. A fly acts in one way, bug acts in a different way, a bee acts in a different way, fish acts in a different way, elephant acts in a different way. So all of them acts in a different way. In Krishna's presence only, all those different living entities can act in that particular way they are acting. So, therefore, all these living entities, to act in their particular way, the way they are acting, for which the cause behind that is one person, one spark, which is Krishna, and to see like that, and that is what this verse is saying. This is another explanation to that. First explanation I have spoken before. Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavam. First of all, we realize everything antaryami. I am that antaryami, first realization, right? That means I have come out of my bodily identity, I have realized I am the antaryami. Later on, I realize that it's my antaryami only is outside in this creation, nothing else. And later on, all this creation itself is this antaryami only, both ways. That is that first explanation. Second explanation is that in all living entities, whether it is the insignificant bug or fly or bee or whatever, right up to Lord Brahma, Krishna is present equally in everything and with all his opulences, and it's only due to his presence there that particular living being is able to function in the way he is functioning. Whether it's an elephant, whether it's a bee or a fly or Brahma, whoever it is. That means, that is another thing what is spoken here. So, so out of these two explanations, the first one is more widely accepted. And Sridhara Swami's explanation that is. But the others have also spoken little differently like that, right? So, Krishna, who is present inside us as akhandam, unbroken, satta chitta anandam, brahmam, that Sachidananda brahmam is the one who is present in all living entities as their very soul, right? So, and it is only in his presence that all these things are happening. In this way, to see everything as Krishna, to see everything as Krishna. And this is called Samadarshanam. This is called Samadarshanam. And according to Hari Maharshi, this is called Bhagavata Uttama, first class devotee. He is called first class devotee. So now, this is because Nimi asked this question. That's why Hari said this. Nimi asked this question. Therefore, Hari said all these things, right? Sarvabhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhudani bhagavatyalma esha bhagavadottama. And then to make it more clear to us that among the devotees, there is difference. In the sense, based on their development, how developed they are. The development, when it comes better, perfect, is Bhagavad-Gautama. But one who has started the spiritual life is also a devotee. Krishna accepts everybody. Everybody is a devotee. But the problem is that that devotee is different from the devotee what Krishna has spoken here. So classification starts there then. For this reason, Krishna has classified. So we'll have a short break and we'll continue after that.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaham davagni narvapanam shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam sarvapna subanam varam vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishi Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Jani Nanuragaha Trinarabi Shunichena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Ananina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam va jagadi shakamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhaktirahai dugitvai ai nanda danu jakingaram patitamam shami bhavambudau kripaya tava pada pangajastita tuli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira pulakair nijidam kadavapu tavannam grahane bhavishyadi Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaidam shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karoduva yathatadava vidadadvilam pato malprananathastuna evanapara sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda Sarvabhudeshu yapashyen Bhagavad Bhavamatmana Bhudani Bhagavatyatma Esha Bhagavadottama Ishvare tadadhineshu Balisheshu Dvishalsucha Premam Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yakarodi Samadhyamam.
So we saw there that Uttama Bhakta, first class devotee, Bhagavatam, his dharmam, what is his dharmam? Samadarshanam, isn't it? That's what the first word said. So samadarshanam is the qualification, or you can say the dharmam of a first class devotee is that. And now that is first class devotee who has become a proper devotee. That is his relationship, samadarshanam, right? Now, a devotee who is engaged in sadhana, that person has crossed to sadhana stage. Who? The Uttama Bhakta. He has crossed the sadhana stage. Sadhana is not any more important for him. He has reached the goal, so it doesn't matter to him. But a person who is sadhana, performing sadhana now, that means he's called a sadhaka, who is performing sadhana, his dharmam is what is spoken in the second verse. That is verse 46. The person who is performing sadhana, Ishvare tadadhineshu, balisheshu dishalsucha, premam maitri kriva upeksha, yakaryoti samadhyama, says. Isn't it? So what that means is, he has, to Krishna he has, He has got division. He has divided. The other one has no division, because he is only seeing Krishna. not seeing the body, not seeing the swabhav, nothing. But this person sees the swabhav. So from this you can understand that majority of the people in this world even don't come to this. It's the next one. Right? And or you can say like this, most of the people in this world will be either category 2 or category 3, not category 1. Category 1 is very rare. Category 1 means he has gone too high, very far. It's category 2 or category 3, it will be. So here what happens, he has faith in Krishna's words. He has faith in Krishna. And he has a certain attachment for Krishna. He has a certain attachment for Krishna. That's why it says here, Ishware. Ishware, right? And as far as Krishna's devotees are concerned, he has some friendship with the devotees. He only keeps friendship with the devotees. Karmis he doesn't. He writes them off from the list. He says, they're all useless, he says. So he doesn't keep any connection with the karmis. Actually, it is difficult also. After a while, it is difficult to keep. How far can you go on with this karmi business? And to talking to them and to associate with them is difficult. It's not very relatable. Then, due to circumstances, sometimes you have to speak like the way they speak. You have to accept what they say and all that. But your heart is not with that. Your heart is not there. You're just going along with it, just to not to upset them. But otherwise, so that he is a Madhyama devotee who is doing that. He has already divided. These devotees I'll associate with because he thinks like me. But then that doesn't mean that because he's thinking like me, if he is degraded, I also get degraded with him. That's useless. If he is a proper devotee and he is interested in Bhagavatam, he is interested in Krishna consciousness, talking about Krishna, all these things are what matters. That means there's a genuine interest, common interest in both. So therefore he has a friendship with the devotee. Whereas with the karmi who is busy talking about other things in this world, he has no interest to associate with them. So that means he has made a division there. Right. Then he also sees the world outside. He has not come out of the world yet. So in the world when he looked around, he found two kinds of people. One group of people who is innocent. They're just busy working hard. If you ask them, they'll say, I'm just making a living. I got my wife and children, family, home, paying the bills and all that. And he doesn't have time for anything else. He's just busy with that. Right? And if you tell them anything, it's not getting inside because he's so absorbed in the world, with the life in this world. So when he sees such people, he says, but they are not offensive. They are telling you, oh, you carry on with your whatever spiritual life, whatever you are doing, you carry on. But don't bother me, I'm just busy with my own life. I got enough prarabdham otherwise, they say. So such people, he feels sorry for them, actually. He feels sorry for them. That you got a human life and you have got stuck in this householder life, in this pit, as called Graham Antagopam. And you are suffering because of that, you've got time for anything else to develop spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. So he feels sorry for them. He feels sorry for them. This can happen within the family also. There are some family members who are very nice people, but they have no interest in spiritual life. So what to do? Then you can't associate with them for too long. And they like you if you come and associate with them in their terms. Then they are happy. But if you don't do that, they are not happy. If you invite them to come for Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, they are not interested. So when that situation comes, all you can do is, that's due to ignorance only. But they are not against you. But the same way they say, we just don't have the time. We are too busy. That's what they say. So that is what another thing with them. To such people, they show compassion. They are people who requires compassion because basically tamogunam has very deep insight and they have not understood anything about life All that they know is to work, earn, live, pay the bills and be happy. That's all that they know. And whatever little happiness they'll try to extract from this world, whatever little they can get out of it. This is that stage. So, that's one. And then there is another class of people in this world who just don't like you if you take the spiritual life. They think that you are... They have their own version of the whole thing. They say that you have isolated yourself from the society. You are of no use to the society. You are just like a parasite living on the cost of others. And they will make all sorts of, and you're not enjoying life. You don't know how to enjoy life. In this way, they will kick you down all the time. And that is what he is saying here. And towards them, he maintains a relationship completely indifferent. Don't want anything to do with you. You carry on, Prabhu, with your life. I carry on with my life. That's all. So, so that's what he's saying here. Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Ubeksha. The four things, right? He is a Madhyama. He is Madhyama. And he is a Sadhaka. He performs sadhana. These are the two things. First one, Samadarshanam. Which one? Bhagavad-Uttama. Samadarshanam is his quality. He has reached very high. The second one is this Madhyamam. Madhyamam means that Premam, Maitri, Kripa, Ubeksha. He has divided the society into four. And he keeps friendship to love for Krishna. He has developed some attachment for Krishna because he has heard Shastram and he has heard from authorities and he has developed some genuine interest in Krishna. He has started taking Krishna seriously, in other words. That is Premam. Then equally he finds devotees are worthwhile associating with. He finds their association rewarding, helping his spiritual life. So he keeps their association, Maitri. Then those who are ignorant, completely ignorant, helpless and carrying on with life the way they are doing, but at the same time not anti, they are not against you, such people, Kripa. And then the fourth one, which is envious and out to create trouble, Ubeksha with them. So that's what it's saying here. So for him, in his case, world is different, Krishna is different. Isn't it? Krishna is separate from the world in his vision. In his realization, Krishna is separate from the world. That's what has happened, right? But for the first one, that difference is not there. There's only Krishna here. There's no world for him. The first one. Bhagavad-Uttamam, for him, there's only Krishna existing. Think in this way, how far he has gone up in spiritually. He has lost all kinds of other realizations. He has reached that stage, right? So, because for this person, Krishna is separate, the world is separate, right? And he also is thinking, this world is Krishna's world. He thinks like that. He has not come to the understanding there is only Krishna here. He is thinking Krishna is separate, the world is separate. Dvaitam has not gone from him. So therefore what's happening? He is thinking that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So this world is his property. That way he is thinking like that. Right? So that awareness is not there in this Madhyama devotee. Can you see the difference between Uttamam and Madhyamam? Right? So he also knows that there is a force which is controlling this creation. There's a force, right? And he knows that that force who is controlling this world, he is the proprietor. He is the proprietor, right? So, and therefore, he has attachment to that force, which is Krishna. To that force who is controlling this whole creation, he has an attachment for that force. He thinks that he is definitely superior because he is controlling everything. That much realization he has got. Whereas the next one, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have come to... For the next one, he is thinking, the third category, three, he is thinking, I'll go to the temple, he is there only for one thing, to satisfy my needs. That's how he is seeing him. Simply as an order supplier, who is just there to supply everything what I want, to make my life comfortable, I don't have any problems in my life. Me and he thinks only in terms of him, his wife and children, family. We should all be comfortable together. And whatever help he can offer, that's fine. So there is a difference between the people. So, so for that person, that means the Madhyamam, who is seeing Ishvara is separate from the world, gradually, because he has recognized Krishna's importance, that Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the proprietor, this much recognition has come inside him. And therefore, he has developed an attachment to Krishna. Because he knows that he is in charge. He knows he is running everything, right? And for him, satsangam will benefit a lot. For him. The other person doesn't require satsangam. Who? The first, Bhagavadottaman. It is in fact, we need his sangam. First category doesn't need satsangam. He has gone beyond all that. Whereas the second category, he will benefit from satsangam. Because what happens? He has accepted Krishna as the controller and the proprietor of everything. Therefore, there is an attachment has come in the mind for him. And therefore, that power of discrimination has come in him. He started seeing things in the proper way. That's what that means. He started recognizing that there is a force behind this whole creation which is controlling the whole. It is not happening whimsically. Nothing is happening here whimsically. Everything is controlled and there is a force operating behind that and Krishna is the force. So therefore he has an attachment to Krishna in that way. So therefore, because he has an attachment there to Krishna, that has happened, he will benefit from satsangam. Because in satsangam, he will start hearing about him, about Krishna more, right? So what he does is, through satsangam he develops intense bhakti. He benefits from the satsangam. He develops intense bhakti and starts serving Krishna that way. He starts taking Krishna seriously in life, right? So therefore, his attachment or premam builds up towards Krishna strongly. Day by day, he gets more attracted to Krishna. He takes Krishna consciousness seriously. He takes it seriously, right? So, and therefore, when he sees other people who is equally dependent on Krishna, taking Krishna shelter and serving Krishna, he feels a relationship with them. That's called Maitri. Maitri means that he sees others also, if he sees someone who has equally attracted to spiritual life and who is finding some happiness in spiritual life, he likes to be in their association. Suhrut bhavam, right? What else is there? One thing you have to remember that malsara buddhi is not there. Malsara buddhi means what? Competing each other. That is not a symptom of advancement. When devotees also, unfortunately, that's the most difficult thing to get rid of from inside. That such a devotee, he has developed a relationship with other devotees, but without any malsara buddhi. That is the most important thing. That is why in the Bhagavatam it says, Narmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Remember? Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Paramo Narmatsaranam Satam. How important that word is, Narmatsaranam. Narmatsarana means he is not in this world to compete with anybody. Because his goal is much higher. Competition and everything is based on the body, isn't it? In front of Krishna, who is competing against whom? Who can compete with Krishna? Who can compete with anybody? And Krishna is not interested in we are such insignificant in Krishna's eyes that our competition is laughable for him. So he is seeing Krishna's, pleasing Krishna is his goal, and he sees everybody else who is engaged in the same activity. He appreciates them and he encourages them and he supports him in every way, and at the same time he doesn't have any competition with them. He is not for competition. But at the same time he develops attachment to Krishna. So, and what else? He doesn't think himself, that I am a devotee and people accept me as a devotee. This kind of thoughts is not there in him. He has come out of all that, right? And he, because sometimes devotees feel like that, oh, I am a devotee. He wants others to recognize that I am a devotee. And then they offer respects to me as a devotee. They should respect me, things like that, right? So, and this person, this Madhyama category, category two, you can say, he has realized that all this is useless. I don't want any recognition in this world. I don't want any I'm not here to compete with anybody, because he has come to realize Krishna is more important than anything else in this world. To realizing Krishna and placing Krishna is more important than anything else. He is only concerned and all he is focused is on placing Krishna. That has become his goal. So therefore, you can see the Madhyama Bhakta, you have to understand which are the qualities of a Madhyama Bhakta and what are the things he avoids and what things he takes it seriously. Important thing is, he is not there to compete with anybody. He looks after himself. He knows Krishna is more important. And he associates with those who are accepted the same way of life what he has. That they like to be pleasing Krishna and their life is also centered around Krishna and they have no interest in this world otherwise. So these qualities of a Madhyama Bhakta you can find in many devotees. This Madhyama Bhakta, Madhyama stage. You can more or less see this really when you observe people, what level they are, and you can see where yourself, where the problems are. So, Uttama Bhakta, hard to find. Uttama Bhakta is hard to find. Madhyama Bhakta, possible to find. Madhyama Bhakta, it is possible to find. And that is also not many. Quite a few you will find, but not many. So, and he does not, main thing is, he doesn't have that Malsara Buddhi. Nirmat Saranam Sadam. And he also is not bothered where somebody else will take his position away. Devotees also like positions in this world, isn't it? Sometimes devotees, even though they may have taken to Krishna consciousness, there also they like some position. Somebody to recognize them as a devotee. So what happens is that sometimes even among the gurus also this has happened. Even the gurus also this has happened. That one guru is feeling threatened by another guru. That is showing Kanishta Sabhav. Kanishta Sabhavam it is. Somebody else will take away my position. That fear. That is Kanishta. That's not Madhyama. That's Kanishta. And this can happen. You may be in spiritual life, you may be doing a lot of things. But in Sabhavam, you are still Kanishta. Kanishta Sabhavam. So, he is not thinking like that. Madhyama won't think like that. So, Madhyama also is a little difficult one. It's not easy. Uttama Bhakta is very hard to come to. That's a very higher position. But even in the Madhyama level, if you look at, you can see that some of the qualities required for Madhyama Bhakta is not there in many people. So they are very much Kanishta. So you can see people between the two, Madhyama and Kanishta, in that level. Right? So what he thinks is, if somebody is offering respects to him, he is thinking that Krishna is within the heart and he is prompting him to offer respects to me. That's why he is thinking like that. He's not taking it as important. It's not important for him. For him, the most important thing is that his life should be to please Krishna somehow. Somehow or the other, Krishna should be happy. Right? So, when he gets some recognition in this world, sometimes you get recognition in this world, or some respect from this world, he's thinking that Krishna must have prompted him to offer that respect to me. I'm accepting it that way. Krishna is behind it. That's the way this Madhyama Bhakta will accept it. He will not think that he himself is very qualified, therefore others are offering. He doesn't think like that. He simply thinks that Krishna within the heart of that particular person has decided to offer, you offer me some respects, therefore he is offering respects. He thinks that Krishna is behind it. In that way, he will not, his ahankaram will never wake up. Ahankaram is always in the control, right? So, therefore, because of that, he is always friendly to other devotees also. He thinks of all other devotees as the devotees of Vishnu, Vaishnavas, in that way. And he has friendship towards them. Right? That means Suhrat Bhavam, not Malsara Buddhi. Not Malsara Buddhi, Suhrat Bhavam to others. Similarly, third one he says, Balisheshu Dushal Sucha Premam Maitri Kripa Upeksha. Isn't it? So he is saying here, Balisha means very mudha nature. Mudha. Mudha means foolish, isn't it? Stupid. To them, that means there's a lot of people like that in this world, isn't it? When you talk to them about spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, it doesn't click to them. They don't think it's so important. And that is mudhatvam. This word mudha is important, isn't it? Ajahn Swamiji used the same word to a scholar in Banarkashi. When he went there, this old man, very old man, he was studying grammar. For what? For recognition in this world. As a big, knowledgeable scholar, grammar and all that. So, he met Acharya on the way. So Acharya says to him, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja, Mutamate. He said, you are too so stupid you are. You are going to die in a short period of time. What are you studying this grammar for? That's what he asked. Nahi nahi rakshadi dukranyakarane. Dukranyakarane is the suffix and prefix in the grammar. Why are you studying this for what at this age in life? That's what he asked. Isn't it? So, that mudha word is, that is the nature of a mudha. Mudha means, he doesn't know what to do in life, when. We all should know. There is no point in, at this point in time, going to study Sanskrit. It's useless. You should study Sanskrit when you were at the student age. At that time, if you study, it's worthwhile, it might help. But at the age, when you are just close to death, hardly few years left, what's the point in studying Sanskrit? So that's what he was saying to him also. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja. Now what is left is, time you have got, is try to please Krishna. Serve him, surrender to him, take his shelter. And that is why Bhaja Govindam prayers, another name used is Mohamudgaram. Mohamudgaram means that illusion in our head. Illusion is telling us that I have to do these things so that I will become recognized in this world. I will become honored by the world. All these are nothing but Maya. Maya is another aspect of that. So that is why he said that. So here, he is called Mudha. This person, who Balisha means Mudha. Mudha. So to such persons, mercy, karunyam. What can you do? They have in that state, their mind is, tamogunam is inside. Tamogunam, Rajogunam, and therefore it's not happening. And you can tell them, the Madhyama Bhakta, what he does is, he tells them the right thing and try to persuade them to take to Krishna consciousness. Try to persuade them to come to Krishna consciousness. Then finally, the wicked ones. Wicked ones means that he who is always against you. They don't like you simply because you are a devotee, you have taken to spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. They just don't like you because of that. And not only that, they don't want your association. At the same time, if they get to see an opportunity to criticize you or find fault with you, they will try to do that. That means dvesham, hate towards us. So in such people, upeksha. Upeksha. Upeksha means no vidvesham. No hate towards them, but just indifference. towards them, right? So, and or ignore them, right? So, a devotee who is in this situation, Premam Maitri Kriva Ubeksha, he is called Madhyama Bhakta, right? So here, he also does sadhana. He does sadhana and he has a relationship with the world like this, right? So a person who is performing sadhana, normally he will have bhakti and also he also will have respect for shastram, respect for the devotees. These things will be there in him, right? And he also will consider devotees as Krishna's people. Like he considers himself as Krishna's people, he will see other devotees also in the same way, in the same way. And he will say that they are also dear to Krishna. So, and because they are also Krishna's people and they are dear to Krishna, they are dear to me as well. In that way, they will see them, right? So, therefore, towards devotees, Maitri, friendship, in that way. This love is a nature like this, isn't it? Relationship is like that always. For example, suppose you like somebody, you like someone, then naturally you will like others also whom he likes. Is it? That's how it is in this world. Suppose you like somebody, then you will like others whom that person likes. That is the way it is, the way things work in this world, right? Similarly, the other way also. Suppose my friend hates somebody, I also will hate him, because my friend hates him. This is all madhyamam, it is. Madhyamam. It is not right, but that's the way it is. So that madhyamam quality has not left him yet, this devotee. This is all madhyamam quality. Actually, whom do you love and whom do you hate in this world? Ultimately, that has no meaning, isn't it? That Krishna is present there because his realization hasn't come up to that level. Who? This madhyamam, madhyamadhyari, as he is called. So, Madhyamadhyari's problem is this. He will love those people and he will love those whom he loves them. Or he loves her and whoever she loves, he loves them. Whoever she hates, he will also hate them. And whoever he hates, he will also hate them. This is all Madhyama quality, Madhyama nature it is. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things to say about Madhyama's behavior. Madhyama behaves like this. Madhyama devotee will behave like this. Right? So, and equally he will think those devotees who are dear to Krishna, he will keep a relationship with them because he says that they are all very dear to Krishna. They are all very dear to Krishna. Right? So, and he also would not compete with them. That's one good thing about him. He would not compete with devotees because he thinks that he has this higher understanding that his intention is to please Krishna. But he has not completely come out of this maya. Right. And then what else? Balisham. Balisham means that they don't know anything. Isn't it? They don't know anything. Like you can see sometimes, experience it yourself. You go and stand for the Rath Yatra time, near the Rath Yatra. Lot of people are walking around in London, isn't it, up and down. So they suddenly see these chariots, a lot of people assembling together. They come up to you and they say, what's going on here? This is. Then you try to explain to them. They got only 20 seconds. And in 20 seconds, you have to tell them everything about Rath Yatra, what that these deities means. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, you got 20 seconds. So they are tourists, they just don't have the time, right? So you start telling them, try to explain something. Oh, thank you very much, they say, gone. Because they just don't have. That is that mudhatvam in them. Unfortunately, it is like that. Mudha. Mudha means they are not asking out of any genuine interest. What it is, they have seen something and they just want to know what is this all about. So this you will have all the time. If you go and stand there, the chariot starts at 12, isn't it? So about 11:30 if you get there and you stand there. These tourists in London going up and down, walking up and down with their map in the hand and the mobile phone in the hand to see the, what do they call that, map, Google map in the hand. And they are running around and they also are very tight for the time. They are only there for 2 days or 3 days and they want to finish up seeing as much as possible. And in the middle suddenly these chariots have come. So they just want to understand what this is all about. And sometimes what they do is that to include that in their trip, they'll take a few photos with the mobile phone. They're gone. They have not understood anything. They've just taken the mobile photos and they've gone. They're gone. They are this category, this mudha. Mudha means there's no understanding of it. They are so busy in life, they don't have the time to understand anything. They just don't have the time. They're so busy. That's mudha. Mudha means that. That's the mudha. So towards them, you have to have compassion. Because their prarabdham has caught them like this. What can you do? That they never had the opportunity to come to contact with Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, devotees, or had never had the peace in life to think about Krishna consciousness. To them, compassion. That's all you can do. Right? And kripa. Kripa. Kripa means you are not feeling, you are not looking them down. You are not, avajna is not there. Avajna means looking down upon them. It's just seeing that their situation and feeling sorry about that. Right. So, similarly, then the fourth category, who are against them, that they are into, they are dvesham. They hate us. They hate us. Right. So, he ignores them. He doesn't make any contact with them. This is the duty of a person who is performing sadhana. Who is performing sadhana. And he is Madhyama Bhakta. Madhyama Bhakta. So, first thing, Uttama Bhakta. What sees dharmam? Samadarshanam. Madhyama Bhakta, differences has come in Madhyama Bhakta. Now, look at the next verse. Archayam eva haraye pujam yashradaye hade nadal bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smradaha. Prakrita bhakta means the category 3. Prakrita bhakta. Yeah? So that's what he is saying here. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find this statement. What to say? Chadurbhida bhajandemam jana sugridi arjuna artho jinyasu artharti jnani cha bharadarshabha. Isn't it? There Krishna is saying jnani is the best devotee. Have you noticed that? So that is why I am saying that when you talk about jnanis also you have to be careful. Not to get you cannot think other way what Krishna is saying. You have to be within whatever Krishna has spoken. You have to agree with that. You can't disagree with Krishna in any way. So therefore, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, what the Navayogis are saying, what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, everything has to come together. There can't be any difference of opinion in all these things. So that is why, in Krishna says like that, four kinds of devotees in Bhagavad Gita, right? And he says that all of them are Sukriti, isn't it? Chaturvidha Vajandemam Jana Sukriti Arjuna. They are all Sukriti. Sukriti means they have performed pious activities, right? And all of them are taking Krishna shelter and doing, serving Krishna, right? And all four of them are blessed ones. All of them have Krishna's mercy, right? What are they? Artha. Artha means due to diseases or illnesses, suffering in life. If your body is giving a lot of trouble, you are an artha. You are always feeling the misery of life. Miseries of the body, isn't it? Sometimes you meet devotees like that. due to some illness, they are suffering heavily in life. They are called artha. Artha means one who is always in distress due to that, right? yeah. So, and they are, artha is serving Krishna for one reason, that they want to know Krishna, but at the same time, they want a freedom from the misery, what they are experiencing at the moment through the disease or illnesses, whatever it is. And some others, Jityasu. The next one is Jityasu. You know Jityasu? Jityasu had a serious inquiry nature. He wants to find out what this is all about. Tattvam. What's the Tattvam? Bhagavad Tattvam, right? And in order to realize that Tattvam, they serve Krishna. They are called Jityasu. So Artha is the one who wants to get free from the distress, bodily distress conditions, right? Jityasu is the one who is taking Krishna shelter, is serving Krishna to know the truth. What's this God we are talking about? So he has an inquiry nature inside, curious. He wants to know, find out. He's got that curiosity or inquisitiveness in him. They are Jityasu. And then there are some others who feel it will be nice to have a lot of money in life. If I have a lot of cash to freely spend, then I'll be happy, right? And also he wants to enjoy life, both. Wants to have sufficient money to spend freely. Bhoga Sukham. Bhoga Sukham means sense gratification. He wants sense gratification and he also wants to feel some shelter in the wealth. He feels like that, right? So, for that purpose, he has come to Krishna. He is called Artharthi. Artha, Jityasu, Artharthi, right? All these three are Ajnani. All three are Ajnani. Artha, Jityasu, Artharthi. All three are ignorant. Shastram says like that. Ajnani, right? But out of those three, Jityasu is the best. That's clear, isn't it? Out of those three, Jityasu is the best, right? Because one good thing about him is, he is not interested in the bodily comforts or sense gratification. And he doesn't have any particular diseases to free himself from the health issues. He's not approaching Krishna for that because he knows that this body will give trouble anyway. It's not going to go, no matter what you do. So he has accepted that and therefore he is not getting too close to the body. He tries to stay away from the body as much as possible. So in his goal, money is not a goal. Bodily comforts is not a problem. Sense gratification is not a goal. Nor looking after his body. Even for that, he is not asking any help from Krishna. Only thing is, he wants to understand Krishna. So, even though all the three are Ajnani, out of those three, this Jityasu is the best. He's the better of the three. Better of the three. And he wants to understand Krishna because Shastram says he is our Antaryami, he is our Tattvam, Atma. Our Atma Tattvam, isn't it? He wants to know that, right? For that purpose, he is called Jityasu. Therefore, Jityasu is better than the other two. And one, this Jityasu, after some time, when he has made this relationship with Krishna, when he becomes successful, somewhat successful later, and he started realizing Krishna is the soul of everyone, Atma Tattvam, right? And then he started realizing him everywhere in the same way. He is a jnani. He is the jnani, right? So he is the, that is why Krishna is saying he is the best. He is the best. Why? Because in him there is no Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi has gone from him, which is the same as Uttama Bhakta. Isn't it? Which is the same as Uttama Bhakta. Veda Buddhi has gone from him, right? And his bhakti is eka bhakti. Eka bhakti, one-pointed bhakti. There is only Krishna here, nothing else matters here. Krishna is the only goal. And realizing Krishna all the time and to remain in Krishna all the time is his goal, and he has got there. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, when you look, you will see in the 7th chapter, when Krishna talks about jnani, he says, Tesham jnani nitya yukta, eka bhaktir vishishyade, priyo hi jnani nyothyartam, aham sa chamama priya, 717. In a few verses, Krishna is glorifying that jnani for this reason, right? After 16th verse is Chaturvidha Bhajandema, the four kinds of devotees. And then in the 17th verse, Krishna says that jnani is the best. Jnani is the best. And again in the 18th verse also, he says jnani is the best. Udara sarvamevaite jnani almaivamevatam astida sahiyuktalma mameva uttamam gadim. So now you see, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita is the same what Hari is saying for Uttama Bhakta. Have you noticed that? Sarvavesh Bhudeshu Yapashit Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatya Alpa Esha Bhagavadottama. That is the qualification of a jnani. And that is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very precisely. So, can you say that jnani and bhakta is different? Where is the difference? There is no difference. Jnani and bhakta is one and the same. Once you have come to that stage, there is no difference at all. So, and then Krishna is saying again, Bahunam Janmanamande, the 19th verse, Jnanavanmam Prabhadyade, Vasudeva Sarvamidi, Samahalma Sudurlabha. Now, this is the stage of a jnani. And that is the one Krishna here, Hari says as the Uttama Bhakta. That is why we say, you cannot say, a jnani is not a devotee. Jnani is a devotee. And if he has become a devotee, he must be a jnani. That's also there. If he has become a devotee in the proper way, he has become a devotee, he has to be a jnani. So, this togetherness of jnanam and bhakti, you will find in the Bhagavadam. When Krishna is going to now talk about in Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava, all lectures is about jnanam, but everything at the end, he brings it down and ties to bhakti. You will notice that every chapter, Uddhava will ask question, Krishna will say very higher Upanishad's knowledge, Krishna will speak, and at the end he will bring it down and tie it to bhakti. So bhakti and jnanam is difficult to separate it. But for outside people like us, when we see people, when you see jnanis in a higher level, you will find it difficult to relate with them because we don't have the bhakti even inside us to really understand that. It is very hard. Their bhakti is on a very higher level. Our level of bhakti is very much limited to prasadam and inne rathayatra, harinam, and a few things whatever we have taken seriously. That's all. That's our level of bhakti. But their bhakti is based on knowledge realizations. So that's why we may not fit in with them in their association. We may not be able to understand what bhakti is about. So you can see in that 7th chapter, 3-4 verses Krishna is talking about a jnani. And that is the same qualifications what he is saying here. If you look at their, if you look at the ways you look at it, Sarabhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavabhava Almana, Bhudani Bhagavatyalma Yesha Bhagavadottama. He said like that in the Bhagavadam, right? So, now, what happens? That Veda Buddhi has gone in him, and also he is only, bhakti is, whole creation here, outside, is, he is seeing as Krishna. He is seeing as Krishna. He is the Uttama Bhakta. That's the Uttama Bhakta. That means, Samadarshanam has come to him, right? That is the Uttama Bhakta. That means that everything in this creation, ultimately there is only Krishna here. He has moved on very high, and all these bodily identities, Namarupam has gone from him. He is not in Namarupam level anymore. Namam Rupam is all based on the body, isn't it? Once Namarupam body has gone, bodily identification has gone, because within himself, he only sees Krishna, Antaryami. He is not in the body anymore. He also has left the body, and he also left others also, he is not seeing in the body anymore. Purely on the consciousness level. That's what he is saying here. So, bhakti for Krishna, similarly friendship for the devotees, and those who are ignorant towards some compassion, and those who are hating us towards some indifference, in this way, a sadhaka who performs that, he is called Madhyama Bhakta. Madhyama Bhakta. So, now Prakrita Bhakta, the last category, right? He is the one who has come to bhakti, the first step. He has come into bhakti. The first step he has come in, right? Prakritam. Prakritam means prarambham. Prarambham means the first step, right? So, that doesn't mean that he is 10th class. Don't think like that. It's not 10th class. He's 3rd class, you can say, right? Only problem with him is, for him, Krishna is only in the deity. Krishna is only in the deity. And his nature also, if you look, you will see, he is seeing Krishna in this world. He doesn't see anywhere, not in the wide world outside, not in other living entities also. But he starts seeing there's something in that deity. Because he is dressed up like that, isn't it? He won't see it as a stone also. Sometimes he will see it as a stone. When he has not fulfilled his desires, then he will say it's a stone. But if he gets this job done, what he wanted, he will go and pray very sincerely, he will pray. And he will say that, I have nothing to do with any of you lot, to the devotees, he will say. I'm here only to see the deity. And I only accept him as the authority, none of you, he said. That way. That relationship, right? He is Prakrita. So that means he has put his first step into spiritual life. And for him, Krishna is only present in the temple. Right? And, but there is one good thing. At least he thinks that Krishna is in the temple. That's his plus point. Right? That's something still better. There are others who say Krishna is not there anywhere. That's majority like that, isn't it? So at least he has got this vision that Krishna is in the temple, right? And he is still better than one who denies existence of Krishna, who never believes in the soul, who never believes in the spiritual life, who never believes of a Ishvara, higher controller. This person is better than that, who sees Krishna in the deity, right? So, the thing we have to important thing we have to understand here is this, that there is nothing wrong in deity worship. Deity worship is good. Nothing wrong in the, because there are so many people who are not very happy with the deity worship, isn't it? They criticize deity worship. No, deity worship is necessary, right? And you should not think that it is a bad thing. It's a cheap thing, this deity worship. It is, only thing is, you have to know is, it's only the beginning, not the end. That's the important thing in the deity worship. Only thing you have to realize is, it is a beginning and not the end. Most of the people, what happens, that becomes the end also, deity worship. That shouldn't happen, right? It should not finish there in the deity worship, right? So, the goal is what is spoken in the 45th verse. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavad bhavam alpana bhagavad bhudani bhagavatyalpana esha bhagavadottama. That is the goal. Not that, oh, now I have taken to deity worship. That's the goal. Many devotees comes to this. This is due to the lack of understanding of the Shastra. Shastra will not say like that. Shastra will always tell you that goal is
Sarvabhudeshu yapashit bhagavadbhavamalpana bhudani bhagavatyalpanesha bhagavadottama. But when it comes to deity worship, we should not think that this is the goal. This is the goal. That is the beginning of bhakti, not the end of bhakti. It's the beginning of bhakti. And that means deity worship is the beginning, not the end, right? It should not finish there, right? One should be able to go beyond than that, right? And that means there is a stage comes, one can transcend the worship of the deity. And that means able to worship the deity within the heart, antaryami. That is a higher realization. That is a goal. Ultimately to see the deity I am worshipping is nobody else than my antaryami inside. One should elevate oneself into that. And after that, the antaryami I am worshipping inside is nobody different than one who is present in all the living entities. So this way it should come. From the deity worship to start, then to realize antaryami, and from antaryami to realize he is the present everywhere. Except this antaryami, there is nothing else here. So, to see Krishna like this, everywhere in everything, one should elevate oneself into that, and that is the perfection of bhakti. That's the perfection of bhakti. Then, then there was a question there. Remember, if you look at that, yatha charati, he says. In that verse 44, he asked the question. Atha bhagavadam brudha, what we have spoken about is yad dharmam. Dharmam is what we have spoken about all these three devotees. Uttamam, pragradam, madhyamam. Three types of devotees. Their dharmam we spoke now, today. How uttama bhaktas dharmam? What is madhyama bhaktas dharmam? Madhyama dharmam means the way they conduct themselves, the way they live in this world, how they deal with others, how they look at, how they see others, all these things. This is called a dharmam. So we saw uttama dharmam. What is uttama bhaktas dharmam? Samadarshanam. Uttama bhaktas dharmam is samadarshanam. Because the king asked this question, atha bhagavadam brudha, tell me bhagavadam, yad dharmo. So in answer to that, the dharmam of a uttama bhakta is samadarshanam. Dharmam of a madhyama bhakta is what? Prema, maitri, kriba, upeksha. The four category, how he, that is his dharma. And then, yadrusha, and the dharmam of a pragrada bhakta, what is that? Only recognizes Krishna in the temple. Nowhere else Krishna exists, only in the temple. He lives in Lachmohit, in Bhaktivinoda manner, that's only he is present. That's where he lives. He's not there anywhere else. That is the pragrada bhakta. Pragrada bhakta's state is like that. Only he can recognize Krishna is present in the temple. Nowhere else. So that is what it is said. He is also a bhakta. He is also a bhakta, but he is in the very pragradam stage. So now, the next, so the three dharmam spoken, for the three, because that's what he asked, yad dharmo. He wanted to know the dharmam of the uttamam, pragradam, madhyamam, what we have spoken so far. Now, the next one, yadha charadi, he say here, isn't it? From now onwards, all the other verses is answer to this. Yadha charadi. Yadha charadi. That means, yadha charadi means that, for example, if you take that 48th verse, that is the beginning of that. All the other verses, 48. Grihitva bindriyair arthan, yona dveshti na hrishyati, vishnor mayam idam pashyan, savai bhagavadottama. Savai bhagavadottama. Yadha charadi, the answer to that. We'll continue with that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.